Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Every issue. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights from 9 to 11, we examine issues from every angle on our show called A Different Perspective. Sometimes we have guests bring a viewpoint that isn't often heard elsewhere. Other times we'll discuss our different perspectives on the issue of the day. Either way, call in and give us your different perspective. Join us, Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart, on A Different Perspective, Thursday nights at 9, here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
We will have no trouble spending those dollars.
California's Transportation Director Will Kempton saying federal stimulus money will create some jobs for road projects.
In California, we can deliver, over 2,000 jobs at over $10 billion in project value within 90 days.
Next, for the House and Senate, there's a compromise package, $789 billion, to consider.
Everyone gave a bit, but the bottom line was the bill got smaller, as the three moderate Republican senators without whom the bill can't pass had insisted. About a third of the measure is tax cuts, two-thirds spending, meaning the bigger tax cuts from the Senate bill got cut back a bit, and some of the spending the House wanted on education and health insurance for the unemployed got put back in.
CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. What about the taxpayers' bailout of the big banks? It could go higher than $1.5 trillion in the Obama-Geithner plan. And what about the billions already given to the banks? What have they done with it?
We understand that taxpayers are angry, and they deserve to know how their funds are being used.
That's Kenneth Lewis, CEO at Bank of America. Each bank executive testifying before Congress today says it has already been loaning money, big money. Members of Congress are saying the voters aren't seeing it, and that is a problem. Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 51 points today. The Nasdaq was up almost 6, and oil prices were right at $36 a barrel. At Los Alamos National Lab, there are 67 computers missing. 13 of them were lost or stolen, but the rest are a mystery. Officials say, fortunately, none of them contained classified information. The owner of the Peanut Corporation of America was called by Congress onto the carpet today to answer for a salmonella outbreak that has sickened more than 600 people and is believed to have killed 9. Not surprisingly, Stuart Parnell took the fifth. The committee did hear from families of those who were infected, including Peter Hurley, whose 3-year-old son Jacob got sick.
This was not an accident. It sickens me to no end that a company and its employees could knowingly allow a tainted product to go out the door and into the nation's food supply. Does no one have a conscience anymore?
The Somali pirates are certainly no match for real Navy ships. The U.S. Navy to the rescue in the Gulf of Aden. Lieutenant Nathan Christensen for the 5th Fleet.
The USS Vela Gulf apprehended 7 suspected pirates today after responding to a distress call from a nearby merchant vessel.
The suspects, he says, were armed with AK-47s and RPGs. The U.S. Navy has a lot more than that. Ousted Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is sounding off again, this time going after the lawmakers who gave him the boot. He says they're a bunch of drunkards and adulterers who don't know how to do their jobs. Now, experts are saying it could be an indication of a book to come. He has hinted as much already. This is CBS News.
This Valentine's Day, there are two things you don't want to break. Her heart and your budget. So go to Walgreens. With great prices on everything from boxed candy to fragrances and cards, Walgreens has more than enough love to go around. Everything to make your loved one's day. And with thousands of convenient locations, many open 24 hours, Walgreens is just around the corner. So there's one more thing you'll save. Time. In every way, Valentine's is sweeter at Walgreens.
Experience it and win with Tempur-Pedic. If you've been waiting for the absolute best time to try a life-changing Tempur-Pedic Swedish sleep system, this is it. Visit a participating retail store today and get your game piece for a chance to win $10,000 just for trying a Tempur-Pedic mattress. Simply call, click, or visit a participating retailer near you today to find out how. Call 1-800-433-2720 or visit Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. That's 1-800-433-2720 or Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. For official rules, go to www.experienceitandwin.com. Contest ends 3809. Offer void where prohibited.
Michigan Congressman John Dingell has set the record.
I was sworn in on the 3rd of January of 1956.
At age 82, he has served 19,420 days in Congress and counting. His proudest accomplishment?
Medicare. And the fact that I was able to preside over the House when it was passed.
President Obama had him over to the White House to thank him for his service and to issue a statement of praise today.
I have a wonderful job. 82 years ago, I hit the jackpot. I was born in the United States as an American citizen, and everything has been wonderful since.
John Dingell. 118 cats in one home, a mobile home in St. Anthony, Minnesota. The rescue crew had to send for the fire department to chop holes in the walls to ventilate the structure. The smell was so bad. They had to wear nets and protective masks for their own health. The cats, by the way, appear to be in pretty good shape. There are no charges against the couple so far. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
This Valentine's Day, there are two things you don't want to break: her heart and your budget. So go to Walgreens. With great prices on everything from boxed candy to fragrances and cards, Walgreens has more than enough love to go around. Everything to make your loved one's day. And with thousands of convenient locations, many open 24 hours, Walgreens is just around the corner. So there's one more thing you'll save: time. In every way, Valentine's is sweeter at Walgreens.
Paper towels, rock salt.
Most people don't know what's in CSX Freight Trains, so we made a list.
Shoes, steel rivets.
CSX Trains move over a million tons of freight every day.
Wheat, refrigerators, orange juice, hybrid cars, lumber.
Are we almost done?
Not even close, my friend. Jogging shorts, mustard.
Let's just say if it's in your life, it's probably on our trains. Go to CSX.com to learn more. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter V. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B's America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad to be with you. We've got a lot to talk about. Great people joining me on the program today. My toll-free number is available to you whenever you want to call at 888-5-PETER-B. Later this hour, California's Lieutenant Governor, Democrat John Garamendi, will join us. There's a whiff of a budget deal, finally, in Sacramento. In our second hour, we'll spend the entire time with writer Aaron Glantz. He was an unembedded reporter in Iraq, and it left him with scars. And as a result, he's written a powerful book about the soldiers and the scars that they bring home. PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, more serious injuries than many of those who did come home from Vietnam. It's a powerful book entitled The War Comes Home. We'll talk about it next hour with Aaron Glantz. Also on today's program, Peter Phillips, the executive director of Project Censored. They produce that annual report of the most censored stories in the corporate media. And one of my little gripes has been that they only do it once a year. Well, they're fixing that. There's now a blog and an alert system at Project Censored. We'll find out more a couple of hours from now. And there's a possibility that Congresswoman Barbara Lee from Oakland, the Democrat who chairs the House Black Caucus, will be joining us in our final hour. We'll await confirmation. And it's a shame the way the right-wing media, Fox, Limbaugh, and the gang, have been distorting what's really in the stimulus package. We'll tell you about that in a moment. I wanted to let you know that coming up less than a week from now, on Tuesday, February 17th, Bernie Sanders will be speaking in San Francisco, and I'd like you to be there. I'm going to be in the audience listening to the senator from Vermont, and many of us hear him every Friday on Tom Hartman's national radio program. And while I have some quibbles with Bernie, he kind of went south on impeachment, and there are some cases where I feel he could be a little more clear, a little more decisive. He's a great progressive, and a guy who was the socialist mayor of Burlington, Vermont, then held the congressional seat from Vermont and moved up to the Senate a few years back when Jim Jeffers retired. So he will be at the First Unitarian Universalist Church, and that's Franklin Street at Geary in San Francisco. 7:30 is the time he'll be talking, and it'll be in a conversation with our friend Norman Solomon. So you know that good progressive topics will be discussed, and I'm very much looking forward to it. So I hope you can join me, Bernie Sanders, and Norman Solomon. That's Tuesday, February 17th in San Francisco at the First Unitarian Universalist, Franklin at Geary in the city. Well, there's a lot to talk about today, and we are trying to connect with Carl Frisch, our representative from Media Matters. Their website has got powerful information at mediamatters.org. They monitor the corporate media and the right-wing nuts so that you and I don't have to do it every day and drive ourselves bonkers. And this is very interesting because I have a group of friends who are active in spurts. There are about 20 of us on an email list. And when things get going, the list is very active and everybody chimes in, and it can be very interesting and also a deadly waste of time. But that group today got an email from my friend Chris Clark, the Brit you used to hear late nights on KGO in San Francisco. And he was raising questions about a piece that he found on the Bloomberg website. And this is a very interesting commentary, an op-ed that was written by the former Lieutenant Governor of New York, Betsy McCaughey. McCaughey, it's an Irish name. M-C, capital C, A-U-G-H-E-Y. And several people emailed me the piece. And I read it, and I said, And the gist of it is, it raises questions about Obama's proposal to move us to electronic medical records. And while I understand the cost savings available there, I have privacy concerns about putting my medical records online. Maybe, you know, I saw a therapist and got some antidepressants. That's not true in my case, but it could be. Or maybe I take a medication that, gee, I just don't want you to know about because it's private. Well, I do have concerns about the transition to online medical records. At the same time, I'm currently captive to a single doctor who has a paper file with my records, and if I want an expert or I want to move to a different general practitioner, I either have to start over with the new person or get my file transferred from the old doc's office. And as you can well imagine, in certain circumstances where you need surgery or some sort of emergency health care, access to those medical records can be crucial. And likewise, it makes a lot of sense that, you know, for non-sensitive issues, if you're being treated by a team of physicians, that your records be available to them electronically so they can look at them on a BlackBerry or a laptop or, you know, wherever, whenever the need arises. So a balance is required, and it is a controversial subject that even lefties have concerns about. But here comes this commentary piece in the Wall Street Journal, which says that H.R. 1, the stimulus bill, includes a clause, a section, that would create one new bureaucracy. The National Coordinator of Health Information Technology will monitor treatments to make sure your doctor is doing what the federal government deems appropriate and cost-effective. The goal is to reduce costs and guide your doctor's decisions. Now, according to Media Matters, in fact, the language in the House bill that McCaughey referenced does not establish authority to monitor treatments or restrict, quote-unquote, what your doctor is doing with regard to patient care, but rather it addresses establishing an electronic record system
such that doctors would have complete accurate information about their patients to help guide medical decisions at the time and place of care. So what this is a right-wing distortion, originating in Murdoch's Wall Street Journal, then amplified by the Rushbo, with or without OxyContin. And Rush took her remarks. I didn't hear what he said on radio, but you can imagine. And he twisted this into a Big Brother story. And he added a little icing to the cake by suggesting that it was Tom Daschle, the now withdrawn nominee for healthcare director at the White House and Secretary of Health and Human Services. And so it took on a life of its own, with a little push from Drudge, and then it gets to the Fox News Channel, America's Newsroom, and anchor Stephen Moore. Oh, wait a minute. Moore is a senior economic writer for the Wall Street Journal. Moore said, "This story has really exploded on the public scene in just the last 24 hours. We've been inundated with complaints from people about the implications of having the government essentially dictate treatment." He later claimed that the bill especially would affect elderly people because one of the ways, if we move toward a nationalized health care system, as this bill would move us one step towards, you have to retain restrain costs. What many other countries do, like Canada and Britain, is they essentially bill ration care. Well, the rationing of care is a reality already. And it's rationed based on your ability to pay. It's rationed on your access to health insurance. And Blue Cross subscribers in California just got notices in the last few days of an immediate 31% increase in their monthly rate. No warning? 31%. At a time of such financial uncertainty, with people losing homes, losing value in their homes, people losing jobs, people being downsized, a 31% increase. That's the real news story, in my view. That's what Fox should be talking about, what the op-ed page of the Wall Street Journal should be filled with. But instead, a scare tactic, a smear stack tactic, a distortion, which is then amplified in the right-wing echo chambers. And my friend Chris innocently picked up on this and said, wow, this is startling. It is. It's also inaccurate. So that's one item from Media Matters. I'm going to take a break here, and I don't think we're going to get to talk to Carl Frisch today, but that's okay. We'll run down some of the stories that they're following at Media Matters right now, including the lies that right-wingers like Rush Limbaugh and others are telling about what's in the stimulus package. We'll pick it up there as we continue. Your calls and comments welcome here. 888-5 Peter B. If you found a distortion in coverage, hey, turn them in. You can be the media cop right now. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
House and protect your investment. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Collins Show, 21 minutes into the hour. We're talking about media and the right-wing lies and distortions. We spent the first segment talking about that Wall Street Journal piece that's been amplified and ricocheted around by Limbaugh and Drudge and the gang. And even my liberal friend Chris picked up on it and said, whoa, what about this? But Media Matters helped explain the origins of this and the factual inaccuracies there. And there's much more to it. Carl Frisch, we tracked him down. Thank you, Katrina, for finding Carl and getting through the telephone system.
I was hit in the back of the head with a lead pipe by Bill O'Reilly's producer. So I apologize.
Was he holding his laptop with the kiddie porn at the time?
That's horrible. No, we've been having phone issues, but it's good to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you, Carl. And I want to next touch on the pushback here from Limbaugh, and this clip is a little unsettling because he sounds really off base. But I think many people by now have seen the interaction between President Obama and a homeless woman from Fort Myers, Florida, Henrietta Hughes.
Right.
And I saw a clip on the NewsHour on PBS, and it really touched me. I mean, she told her story briefly, that she's unemployed, she's homeless, she's living in her car, and that she has a two-year wait to get public housing, and she asked the president for help. And he was so touched that he walked over and gave her a kiss on the cheek. And it startled his Secret Service guys. I could see that. But here is Captain Compassion himself distorting the very scene that many of us saw on television.
There's another bite coming up here. A crying woman named Henrietta asks Obama for a car, for a new kitchen and a bathroom.
That's not true.
I am not kidding.
Well, you are. You're lying. He's not kidding. He's actually lying.
Our own kitchen and our own bathroom. Please help. And Obama says, well, what is your name? And she says, it's Henrietta Hughes. And Obama tells her to talk to his staff. After the town hall, she asks for a car, a kitchen, and a bathroom.
Now, let me just repeat this. He did get it right once, but he's tripping all over himself. She never asked him for a car. She said, we need a kitchen and a bathroom because the parks are inadequate.
These are the people, I'm telling you, we saw what we saw last night. These people saw, if they watched his press conference, they saw a guy who, in their eyes, only cares about getting them a job. That's, I don't care about anything else, or getting them a kitchen.
Now, I've had enough. Carl, this is really incredible that he would twist a story that is so readily available to an average American and try to get away with it.
Right, and all she was doing, all this woman was doing, was simply saying that she needs housing and a job. For those that didn't catch the town hall, let me quote you precisely what she said. I have an urgent need, unemployment and homelessness, a very small vehicle for my family and I to live in. We need urgent, and the housing authority have 2 years waiting list on this, and we need something more than the vehicle and parks to go to. We need our own kitchen and our own bathroom. Please help. What she's saying is that she lives in a car,
Yeah. And
it's not enough. Living in the park, living in the car is not enough. She needs housing, and there's a waiting list, and she can't do it anymore.
And Rush could have had a joke with this and said, hey, it's Oprah who gives away cars. But she didn't ask for a car. And
she's already got a car. It's called her home.
Yeah, this is the equivalent of the really hardcore early Limbaugh when he used to do a homeless update and just make fun of people who didn't have a home.
Right.
And that was seen
also
as...
Also when Rush used to tell callers to take the bone out of their nose and call him back.
Yeah.
When he used to play the Jeffersons theme song, Moving On Up, whenever he talked about Carol Moseley Braun.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy that calls Barack Obama a African-American. So, he's a heartless SOB, that's for sure.
Yeah. And what are some of the other clowns up to? How is Sean Hannity twisting these issues? Because it seems to be a twofer, that the Republicans on the Hill say that it's all pork in the stimulus package and it should be all tax cuts. And then their echo chamber is out there nitpicking and making up things that are not actually in this stimulus package and just lying about it.
It's been quite ridiculous. Hannity, of course, is good for any conservative talking point. And I think it's always been suspect. Progressives have long wondered exactly how Fox gets their talking points. And if it's true that they're incorporated. You know, we caught this week Fox red-handed doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It happened yesterday. On a Fox News program called Happening Now, the co-host, John Scott, started referring to how the recovery plan had grown over time and gave out basically seven citations from various news publications. Mind you, these citations weren't necessarily referring to the same thing, even though we were led to believe that,
mm-hmm.
beside the point. And each one of these citations carried with it a graphic on screen. Well, it turns out, and one of the graphics, by the way, said that it was from a newspaper article in the Wall Street Journal published in December 2009. So I'd really look for the sports scores on that issue. So there was obviously a typo there. And one of our researchers caught that and realized that all seven of the citations were directly from a press release by the Senate Republican Communications Center, including the typo.
Oh, man.
So he was basically reading verbatim press release, and he tried to pass it off as Fox News original reporting.
Yeah, Fox News, cut and paste from GOP
right.
news releases.
So he apologized today, and I know what everybody's thinking, well, that's good. It shows some good journalistic ethics that he would apologize for not telling his viewers that what he was doing was reading from a Republican press release.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, what he did was apologize for the typo.
And just one quickie more here about Hannity. He came up with an alleged some sort of a frisbee golf course.
Just ridiculous, claiming that billions of dollars, I believe hundreds of billions of dollars, if I'm not mistaken, were going to be spent on frisbee golf courses as part of the stimulus, knowing full well, at least by now, I guess you have to know the truth to twist it, that golf courses are specifically not allowed to have recovery funds.
I see.
If it isn't a golf course, it's going to be blamed on illegal immigrants, and if they can't do that, they're going to say Acorn's getting $5 billion.
Hey, in Monterey County, we've got over 20 public golf courses. It's a big profit center, a revenue center. It's a cause of tourism. I don't think that should be ruled out from the stimulus.
Right.
Carl, thanks a lot. Good to talk to you. We'll do it again soon. Carl Frisch, MediaMatters.org. John Garamendi's next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. It's been 30 years since the American-backed Shah of Iran was overthrown and Ayatollah Khomeini and the hardline Muslim mullahs took over in Tehran. Most of us here in America remember that well. But Karim Sajjadpour, an expert on Iran with the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, says over there they don't.
Most Iranians don't remember the revolution. They don't remember the time of the Shah. And those who have access to internet and satellite television see what's happening elsewhere in the world, look around and they say, you know, why this animosity? We need to have relations with the United States.
But how about President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and all those mobs shouting death to America? More on that subject after this.
This Valentine's Day, there are two things you don't want to break. Her heart and your budget. So go to Walgreens. With great prices on everything from boxed candy to fragrances and cards, Walgreens has more than enough love to go around. Everything to make your loved one's day. And with thousands of convenient locations, many open 24 hours, Walgreens is just around the corner. So there's one more thing you'll save. Time. In every way, Valentine's is sweeter at Walgreens.
Hi, this is Jim McCann. This Valentine's, give her something to talk about.
Now through Thursday, 1-800-Flowers.com is offering 18 long-stem multicolored roses, plus a beautiful Valentine vase and a box of gourmet chocolates, all for only $29.99. Just click on the radio icon to get this offer. Surprise her at work or home with flowers that will last all week, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Valentine's is coming up, so call or visit 1-800-Flowers.com today.
Pick the best. We always do.
The other night at his news conference, President Obama talked about Iran.
If we see a nuclear arms race in a region as volatile as the Middle East, everybody will be in danger.
He's called for direct talks with Iran, but doesn't want to seem too anxious for that.
There's been a lot of mistrust built up over the years, so it's not going to happen overnight. And it's important that even as we engage in this direct diplomacy, we are very clear about certain deep concerns that we have as a country.
What effect are Obama's words here having over there? Carnegie Endowment's Karim Sajjadpour.
I think what Barack Obama is doing is creating divisions and cleavages within Iran between those amongst the political elite who want the relationship and those who are opposed, and between the population, which overwhelmingly is in favor of an improved relationship.
Ahmadinejad, who's being challenged for re-election as president, now says Iran is ready for talks. Sajjadpour thinks this could be a moment of truth for both countries.
The United States has been sobered by the experience in Iraq, and Iran has been sobered by the contraction of oil prices. So it's been a long time since they've been on the same level.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi will join us here in a moment. There appears to be the outlines of a budget deal in Sacramento, but we've heard that before.
They're closing all the libraries. They're closing all the libraries. They're closing all the libraries. They're locking hallowed doors. They're closing all the libraries. Doubling my parking fees. They're building prisons in old schoolyards. Shows and marble stairs. Mama used to take her there every Saturday. Started with the picture books. After a while, she just got hooked. Now they're closing all the libraries. You got TV, don't complain.
Yeah, you got TV, don't complain. We're standing by to connect up with John Garamendi, California's Lieutenant Governor, and things are apparently moving in the Capitol. Legislative leaders and the governor have reached a tentative deal regarding the $40 billion two-year budget cap, and details are still emerging, but there are tax increases, there are cuts in spending, and there is some borrowing. I don't know who's going to loan to us, but there is some borrowing included. Sources say that the plan would raise state sales taxes by a penny, increase income taxes across the board, and hike the vehicle license fee from the current 0.65% up to 1.15%. And these tax increases would last a minimum of 2 years. As a trade-off for new taxes, Republicans demand that the deal includes a limit on future state spending. And that restriction would require the state to place money in a rainy day fund after reaching a limit determined by state revenues over a 10-year period. Voters would have to approve that spending limit, likely in a special election later this year, and that's controversial under with education groups in particular. And let's see, they also are planning to borrow against future California lottery revenues. That's a shaky scheme in my view. And that, among others, would require voter approval. And it wouldn't kick in until really next year, and I think it's a nominal amount of money. And Republicans and Schwarzenegger have also asked for, we don't know if they're getting them, business-friendly changes in environmental and labor laws. And I find that interesting that the Green governor, Mr. AB 32, who is one of the few Republicans in the Bush years who recognized the risk of global warming, he now wants to streamline environmental rules that essentially are part and parcel of the packages that help reduce those kinds of greenhouse gas emissions. The lieutenant governor joins us now, John Garamendi. Welcome to our program, John.
Always good to be with you.
So things are moving in the Capitol. At least we see there are some tentative plans. tell me how secure some of these elements are. Have the Republicans agreed to an income tax increase across the board, a vehicle license fee increase, and a 1 cent sales tax increase, John?
Well, my guess is the answer is no, but they've agreed to put it on a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And let the voters decide.
I see.
I'm not exactly sure how that is going to work since we're supposed to be broke next week or this week or today or tomorrow.
Well, we are.
And so I'm a little curious, the next election opportunity, June,
mm-hmm.
with the special election, and by that time I don't know how we finance it, but at least there's movement, at least there's discussion, at least they seem to be willing to put it before the voters. To why they don't have the courage to do what ought to be done is, I guess, apparent.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, it's better today than it was yesterday.
Yeah. Now, this does get into a game, unfortunately, and that's what the radical Republican minority is playing. That they don't want their fingerprints on a tax increase. And this is their job. This is their duty. And as I cited to you a couple of weeks ago, Tom Campbell, formerly the finance director for Schwarzenegger, a Republican who's considering running against you for governor in 2010. He is a low-tax, you know, kind of a Milton Friedman economic conservative. And about early in January, he admitted that, yep, we're in a crisis and we cannot skate by without tax increases. So he's made that.
Absolutely correct about that. Peter, one of the things that has happened is that you take a look, Schwarzenegger's in his sixth year now, and, almost sixth year. He spent the first 5 years saying no taxes, no taxes, taxes are bad, no taxes, and that became his mantra. And then last August, realized that we can't do this with cuts, we're going to have taxes. So he shifted. But by that time, he had put almost the entire Republican Party in concrete and let it dry.
Mm-hmm.
And to break that concrete is the trouble we're having right now. Tom Campbell is absolutely correct. We can't solve this problem without raising taxes. Big question about which taxes to raise and how much to raise them and so on and so forth. I mean, that's a big question, legitimate discussion about that. However, what's happened is that the Republican legislature is still back in the pre-August 2008 modality of no taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being driven by the radical right of their party that says if you vote for taxes, then we'll take you on in the primary elections and your career is terminated. Whether they would be successful or not at that, who knows, but there doesn't appear to be many courageous legislators that are willing to stand up and vote. They may be willing to vote to let the people vote, which is, you know, better than nothing here.
Yeah, but it's passing the buck at a time when we simply cannot afford that. We don't have the time or the luxury to wait until an election in June for matters, even if they're put on an emergency basis, that couldn't take effect till July 1. Unless there is some secret plan for the Republicans to reach out to their rich benefactors to float the state what appears to be about $5 billion a month that we need simply to pay our bills and stay solvent.
Well, you're absolutely correct about that, Peter. And when you're faced with a budget crisis, a principle, the first principle to keep in mind is the longer you wait, the worse it gets. The larger the tax cuts will, the tax increases will have to be, and the larger the cuts. Every day that goes by, count on more larger cuts and higher taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to deal with these issues right at the beginning. And let's remember that the first fiscal emergency that the governor called was 13 months ago. And we knew 20 months ago that we were in this fiscal problem. But the governor waited and waited, and as I say, he waited until August to say finally what everybody should have known, and certainly any economist knew and all the analysts around Sacramento knew, is that you can't do it with cuts. You're going to have to do it with cuts and taxes. So the governor was very, very late, almost a year late coming on board, and the Republican Party is even later coming on board. If you wait till June to raise those taxes, you've lost the entire 2008 year where we know
mm-hmm.
we've got a $15 billion problem.
Yeah.
And so you've done nothing to solve that problem, which means you've got to load it all into 2009-10
mm-hmm.
budget year. And that's going to be a huge increase, and you're going to have to borrow the money, which means you got to pay interest, you got to pay the money back, which means you're carrying that problem not only through the 9-10 year, you're going to carry that problem into the years beyond. And if you wind up with a two-year solution, you're going to fall off the end of the earth in 10-11. And you've got to think long-term about this, but mm-hmm. that doesn't seem to be the case. So.
Well, and short-term, John Garamendi, we have certain counties that don't have cash reserves, and they're essentially on life support right now. John Chung, the state controller, will be with us on the program Friday in our second hour. We'll get more details. But he has had to withhold critical transfers to county government from the state treasury for the month of February. And it's interesting because the San Francisco Chronicle did a study. And the counties that are most cash-strapped and most impacted by this non-payment from the state are Republican counties.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. This is where you get into just a question of failed leadership. Failed leadership by the individual whose own districts are going to be in such deep trouble. And frankly, I think failed leadership by Governor Schwarzenegger is that if we have to wait till June to find out what taxes we're going to raise, and I suspect the cuts will be made immediately, but we're then faced with a far higher tax increase than would otherwise be necessary. And I don't know how we bridge the gap. You know, maybe John Chung and the Treasurer Lockyer can go out and borrow money, but they're telling us right now that they can't borrow money until there is a clarity in the budget. There mm-hmm. will not be clarity until June and the people vote. So this becomes a very serious problem in trying to get to the election. And then there's the question, what's the electorate going to do? And by the way, Governor, are you out selling this, and are the Republicans out trashing it?
Yeah.
Big question. If the Republicans are out trashing it in a special election, and we know in most special elections you get higher conservative votes.
Mm-hmm. Low overall turnout, election. High conservatives, and the Republicans tend to have money to pump into misleading TV ads that drive the turnout of single-issue and conservative voters.
And there's one other issue that apparently they're talking about putting on this election, which is this rainy day fund cap. Now, and Peter, I've been around a long time, and I've watched the GAN limitation go into effect in the early 80s and turn out to be an unmitigated disaster for the state in that we could not grow the highways, the water systems, the sanitation systems, the education system, or anything else because the cap simply strangled the ability of the state to meet current needs, let alone future needs. What that limitation did and what the Republicans have talked about thus far with their limitation is that you can never get ahead of the need that the state has for schools, for roads, for hospitals, or any other public program financed by the state government. If that's what they're going to put in place, you know, we are clearly in a position that will strangle the potential of the state. Hopefully they're wiser than that. We've not seen any language thus far. And hopefully my Democratic leaders are wise enough to say, don't go that way, folks. Don't do that. We've been down that path, and it was a disaster.
Now, John, shouldn't the Democratic leadership, Daryl Steinberg, President Pro Tem of the Senate, and Karen Bass, the new Speaker of the Assembly, shouldn't they stand firm and say, no special election? This should be determined by the legislature. That's our job. And if you're not willing to do it, Republicans, resign.
Well, I don't know. I understand the dilemma that they're in. But one of the things that's happened here is that over the last 13 months, the Democratic leaders have negotiated against themselves.
Yes.
They've been in a terrible negotiating posture, one in which they put their program out, and the Republicans and previously the governor, and I think even to this day the governor said, no, we won't accept that. Then they put out another program that's less than and say, well, will you take that? And the Republicans say, no, we're not going to take that. Then they put out a third program and say, well, will you take that? And negotiating against yourself is not a good negotiating tactic.
Nope.
That's basically what's happened over the last 13 months.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why I feel they've got to stand up at this point and say, we don't have time for a special election. Sure, if you want to put that scheme about borrowing from the lottery on the ballot, go ahead. That's not essential. But the vehicle license fee, the sales tax, the income tax, we've got to call out the cowardice of the Republicans who aren't willing to do their jobs.
Well, you're certainly correct about that. And it's a dereliction of their responsibilities to their own constituents and also to the future of the state of California. Back to the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Beware. This is another scheme of borrowing that ultimately will reduce future revenues. Because when you sell the lottery, assuming you could,
yeah,
you've lost that, and right now it's about $1.5 billion that goes into education. You'll lose that money. You'll get $5 billion up front. I mean, this is right out of Genesis in the Bible. I mean, we're talking about a Sioux selling his birthright for a bowl of porridge. You're giving up that future revenue stream. You're selling it today. You're going to get some immediate money, maybe $5 billion this year and another $5 billion next year, which I think is very optimistic, but nonetheless, just use those. And then the third year, the money's gone, and now you're short $1.5 billion, and you've got to repay the schools for the lost revenue. So there's $3 billion right there.
Yeah.
That's no longer available to you, and that goes on forever. So you've reduced the future revenues by that amount, money that you have to backfill and money that you're not getting.
Yeah.
And you know, that's not a particularly good long-term strategy.
It's the same great
past his tenure in office.
Yeah, but it's the same great concept behind the payday loan, John.
Yes, that's correct.
We know it doesn't work. We got to take a break. We'll return. We'll talk about other budget issues swirling in Sacramento, and also Ken Salazar, the new Secretary of Interior, where John Garamendi used to work. He has called off the offshore drilling plans of the Bush administration, and that's good news. We'll try to touch on that as we continue with Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Finally, a new talk show on KRXA that we could all use. Sundays 11 to 12, Listen Tough, Fix It Up, an hour-long call-in talk show with contractor Bruce Pippin and electrician Marie. With years of experience and lots of humor, they'll answer all your questions, from how to fix your leaky faucet to finding the right contractor. You'll find simple, easy solutions to all kinds of things that can break down in your home. Fix It Up with Bruce and Marie, Sundays 11 to 12. Email in your questions or call in. Only on AM 540, KRXA. Fix It Up.
Hi, this is Hal, and you're listening to KRXA 540. Just wanted to let you know about some of our recent schedule changes. First of all, we are playing basketball from Cal State Monterey Bay and Cal Berkeley this year. So if your favorite program is interrupted, we apologize, but you can catch all of our talk shows in full on the Internet at their regularly scheduled times at KRXA540.com. In addition, we are now playing Ed Schultz live from 10 to noon. We play the first hour of Ed 8 to 9 p.m., and we play the entire Tom Hartman Show 9 to midnight, Monday through Friday, with the exception of Thursday, when we start Tom Hartman Show at 11 in the evening and run it through 2 in the morning. Thank you so much for listening to KRXA 540. And on the internet at KRXA540.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi, and the outlines of a budget deal have been reached, but as we get some of the fine print of the details, it appears Republicans are agreeing to a package, but they won't actually vote for it. They want you and me to vote for it. The earliest they could call a special election would be June, and that means that any results, any tax increases, would not hit into this fiscal year, which ends at the end of June. And so, once again, the Republicans are failing to do their job, failing to do their duty. They're loyal to Grover Norquist more than their own Republican governor. And John Garamendi, I hope you don't get irritated with me, but I really think that we need to avoid a special election. We need to demand that Republicans do their job and do it now.
Well, Well, I agree entirely with that. I think the pressure needs to be put on all the legislators. I mean, it's 4 months until that election, and as I said earlier, it's going to take bigger cuts and higher taxes the longer we wait. And the legislators were elected to do the tough work, to make the decisions. The notion of ballot box initiatives and the rest have got us tied up in the laws. We have no idea how that election will turn out. We do know that it's likely to be weighted towards the conservative side, so the odds going in are not particularly good.
Yeah.
We don't know whether the Democrats will be in the kinds of support that might be necessary, depending upon things like the rainy day fund. You could lose Democratic support.
And if the voters did reject this package and we haven't done anything to enhance revenues between now and then, the state would be totally broke.
We would be bankrupt. We would be in deep doo-doo, and there's no way out of it at that point. You're just out of luck. The financial community may not, looking at the risk that you and I just described, may look at this and say, we're not going to loan you money, in which case we're out of luck right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so it's a risky thing. I don't want to trash this thing too much because we haven't seen all the details. I don't want to get too far ahead of it, but we've talked about some of the problems that are apparent given what we know about it today. One more thing.
Yeah.
This is the most important piece of legislation in the last 5 years and likely in the next 5 years. And it's all been done in secret. That is no way to do it in a democracy. I understand the motivations for keeping everything secret, but it is wrong, and it, frankly, I think it's illegal because legislation has to be done in the open, and this was not.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Now, there has been talk about raiding Proposition 10, the money that's earmarked for early childhood development in the first five programs. Is that still in the offing?
I don't know.
Okay.
We don't know, and that's the problem with secrecy.
Now,
you know, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's the only thing you can do, but when it comes out secret, we don't know.
Let's turn to one other critical issue, and that is that spending in the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation is way out of control, and we have an overpopulation problem as identified by a three-judge federal court panel. They have issued a preliminary order that, of course, is being appealed, and it'll take time to be finally resolved, but they're saying that you got to cap the state prison population, and that means you got to release as many as 45 or 50,000 inmates. Now, we have 41,000 alone who are in on three strikes convictions, and I've never thought that was a reasonable law, and not every one of those is a petty crime, but that's a good place to start. Also, the lifer population, these guys who were sentenced under the old laws before 1977, who are still doing time as they head into their 70s, they're a true cost on the system and very low in terms of recidivism. Can we get rational about the prison population, John?
Well, we don't have any choice but to get rational about it. You just hit one that I think it's absurd. Age-blind and disabled prisoners cost us over $100,000 a year. No help from the federal government. Why are they in prison? We fear that if they're out, they may run over the top of us in their wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know, come on, this makes no sense at all. You know, take them out, release them, and they become a Medicare program, and the federal government picks up the cost. And why are they behind in a maximum security prison to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
There are things that can be done. We have to deal with the recidivism here. I mean, that's the fundamental problem is the recidivism. It's several times higher than any other state. We don't spend money on the probation, and in fact, the governor in the budget, I'll bet across the street at the Capitol, they are in the process of cutting the probation. Education, drug treatment, we know those things are absolutely essential if you want to cut the recidivism. The revolving door has got to be slowed down. We're never going to stop the revolving door, but my goodness, it's going so fast that, you know, I don't know what it average, maybe 6 or 7 months out of prison, you're back in prison. It makes no sense at all. You've got to spend some money. You've got to deal with this reform, and we've got to get real about it because it is costing us an arm and a leg. You've got a receiver out there that says we're going to spend $8 billion on medical facilities. When we have 6.5 million Californians that can't get into an emergency room until they are desperately ill, and this doesn't make much sense to me.
And can we reform the three strikes law so that it really only affects serious and violent criminals?
Yeah, there have been attempts to do so, and some of those...
Jerry Brown and Bill Lockyer joined Arnold Schwarzenegger to kill the last one.
Well, I understand, and it's a sensitive issue, but, you know, what what was the first strike, what was the second one, and, mm-hmm. and what was the third one. If the first and second were mayhem and murder and manslaughter, whatever.
But we already have laws that enhance sentences for, you know, repeat offenses of that nature. The three strikes law is much too narrow, and it's that guy who committed a crime 30 years ago and then steals a pizza that triggers a second or third strike. That's just, you know, ridiculous.
Well, there you go. It needs to be refined. There's no doubt about it, mm-hmm. and it can be. But we've got to, you know, you got to be sensitive to the body politic here. At the same time, you've got to be sensitive to the cost and, mm-hmm. and what it brings down on all of us. When you start spending more money on the prisons than you do on higher education, you ought to be thinking about what in the world is going on here.
Yeah. John, we'll talk about offshore drilling another time. Thank you for joining me today.
Bye-bye.
John Garamendi, California's Lieutenant Governor. Coming up next, writer-journalist Aaron Glantz talks about the war coming home on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Compromise on the stimulus package.
The difference between the Senate and House versions, we've resolved.
Congress wants to know why.
My father died because he ate peanut butter.
But got no answers on salmonella from the peanut company. This is Howard Ehrenstein in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. An economic stimulus bill could be on President Obama's desk before the weekend. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Under pressure to move fast, Senate Leader Harry Reid did.
The bills were really quite similar, and I'm pleased to announce that we've been able to bridge those differences.
A slight glitch developed when some details hadn't been run by House Democrats, but the expectation is a final bill could get to President Obama within days. Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman.
It will be the beginning of the turnaround for the American economy.
The bill is now just under $800 billion, about a third tax cuts, including an income tax reduction for almost all middle-class Americans, two-thirds direct spending to spur growth and create jobs, everything from building roads, cleaning up the environment, and modernizing the electricity grid to helping states so they don't have to start firing teachers and police. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The president says the package will create 3.5 million jobs. At a highway construction site in Springfield, Virginia, he suggested that some of the job cuts at Caterpillar might be quickly reversed.
Today, the chairman and CEO of Caterpillar said that if the American Recovery and Reinvestment Plan passes, his company would be able to rehire some of those employees.
Tomorrow, Mr. Obama visits Caterpillar headquarters in Peoria. The heavy equipment manufacturer recently eliminated more than 20,000 jobs. Now this.
This Valentine's Day, there are two things you don't want to break. Her heart and your budget. So go to Walgreens. With great prices on everything from boxed candy to fragrances and cards, Walgreens has more than enough love to go around. Everything to make your loved one's day. And with thousands of convenient locations, many open 24 hours, Walgreens is just around the corner. So there's one more thing you'll save. Time. In every way, Valentine's is sweeter than Walgreens.
Two drivers, two very different stories heading home on a dark evening.
I hit the open road.
A deer popped out of nowhere. I panicked.
I saw a deer in the road. I slowed down.
I jerked the wheel. I wish I could have seen it.
I drove around it and was home before the next song on the radio.
With Silver Star headlights from Sylvania, you'll see more of the road ahead. Remember, headlights dim over time. Replace them before you are left in the dark. Visit your automotive retailer and choose the whitest, brightest light. Silver Star headlights from Sylvania.
Eight of America's top bankers appeared on Capitol Hill today defending their use of TARP funds but acknowledging public distrust.
We understand that taxpayers are angry and they deserve to know how their funds are being used.
Bank of America CEO Ken Lewis said he felt more like a corporal than a captain of the universe. All eight said they've scaled back bonuses, but Morgan Stanley's John Mack said Wall Street's compensation system needs revision.
Without question, given the kind of risk that we take today, the global nature of our business and the size of our business, all that has to be looked at again.
The bankers said they have been lending, but New York Democrat Gary Ackerman wants more detail.
Could you each send us in writing what you did with all of those billions of dollars that you got? Is anybody unwilling to do that at this point?
None indicated they would refuse. In another room on Capitol Hill, a hearing on the deadly Salmonella outbreak. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein has that.
Jeffrey Almer's mother ate peanut butter in a nursing home.
Our family was absolutely stunned that doctors were giving her hours to live.
Democrat Bart Stupak said documents showed the company was more concerned about money than food safety.
What was this company thinking, releasing tainted product to the public?
But he got no answers from the owner, Stuart Parnell.
I respectfully decline to answer your question based on the protection afforded me under the United States Constitution.
Lou Toussaint, who lost his father, thinks he knows what happened.
He was really playing a Russian roulette with children and the elderly.
His dad is now one of nine dead. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
All-star shortstop Miguel Tejada appeared before a federal judge in Washington today admitting he lied when he told congressional investigators he knew nothing about steroids in baseball. At a news conference later, Tejada said he was sorry.
I apologize to the whole United States because this country gave me the opportunity to be who I am.
When he was questioned in 2005, prosecutors say Tejada lied to cover up for an Oakland A's teammate. A traffic accident in space. A commercial communications satellite collided with a dead Russian satellite at tremendous speed about 500 miles over Siberia. The crash resulted in a massive cloud of debris that will likely burn up as it falls into the atmosphere. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
This Valentine's Day, there are two things you don't want to break: her heart and your budget. So go to Walgreens. With great prices on everything from boxed candy to fragrances and cards, Walgreens has more than enough love to go around. Everything to make your loved one's day. And with thousands of convenient locations, many open 24 hours, Walgreens is just around the corner. So there's one more thing you'll save. Time. In every way, Valentine's is sweeter than Walgreens.
Experience it and win with Tempur-Pedic. If you've been waiting for the absolute best time to try a life-changing Tempur-Pedic Swedish sleep system, this is it. Visit a participating retail store today and get your game piece for a chance to win $10,000 just for trying a Tempur-Pedic mattress. Simply call, click, or visit a participating retailer near you today to find out how. Call 1-800-433-2720 or visit Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. That's 1-800-433-2720 or Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. For official rules, go to www.experienceitandwin.com. Contest ends 3809. Offer void where prohibited.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Those who start wars, never fight them.
Not much debate around here. It is time.
Those who fight wars, they never like them.
Time to bring our troops home.
Those who ride laws.
But what's it like for the troops when they come home? What do they face? What do they deal with? And how do we support them or fail to?
And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them.
We'll explore these and other questions this hour with Aaron Glantz, San Francisco journalist and the author of a new book called The War Comes Home, Washington's Battle Against America's Veterans.
Take our girls, time to go home. Take our boys.
Aaron Darren Glantz has an interesting background, worked for Pacifica Radio and news services related to Pacifica, and he was an unembedded reporter in Iraq, made several trips there and chronicled those in dispatches. He's been on our program before. He wrote How America Lost Iraq, and he's the co-author of Winter Soldier, Iraq and Afghanistan. Aaron, welcome back to our program.
Oh, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
And I'm really delighted at your success and really impressed with this new book. There's a fair amount of personal observation and reporting in it. And I thank you for sharing the issues that you've wrestled with from your own experiences in Iraq.
Well, it's important, I think, when you write about the war, especially since there are over almost 2 million veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan, many in your listening audience, that when I come forward and I talk about what it's like to come home from war, it's in respect to them that I share my own experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you're clear about that. You're not saying that you have the same exact experience as soldiers who were right out there in the midst and the thick of it all. But you had your own experiences, and let's start there because, for example, in the postscript to your book, you talk about how one day it just got to be too much, and first you got on your bicycle and rode around, and then you hopped on the train from San Francisco to Sacramento, and you said that that gave you a feeling of release, like the time when you had finally gotten transit out of Iraq.
Well, I think that what you're talking about is the fact that when you're in a war, and I was in Iraq for parts of 3 years, from 2003 to 2005, it's extremely unsafe. I saw dead bodies in the streets. I was on hand when some of these car bombs went off, when hotels were destroyed, when police stations were blown up. You come home, and then you're told everything is completely safe here. Just chill out. And that's not the way your body works. And for me as a non-combatant who saw all of this as an observer, it was at one level. But for many of our veterans who carried a weapon when they were over there, who fired that weapon, who slept with their weapon, when you're in the war, you sleep with your weapon every night, they come home. And if you sleep with your weapon in Sacramento, California, or in San Francisco or Monterey, people think that there's something wrong with you. People see that as deviant, and you're expected to turn that off right away. And nobody in the military, nobody at the VA, helps you with that in a meaningful way. I mean, we send people to boot camp for an extended period of time to teach them how to be in the military, but we have no de-boot camp. You're just supposed to immediately come home and be normal. But, you know, a war is not like that.
And you chronicle in the book what soldiers find when they come home, and we'll get into that in some detail. You really cover every facet of it, and I appreciate that. And we'll talk about as much of it as we can this hour. Aaron Glantz is with us this entire hour, and if you're listening to our live broadcast, you can call in right now, toll-free, at 888-5-PETER-B. And in particular, if you or a loved one served in Iraq or Afghanistan and has had trouble reconnecting here and reorienting in civilian society, I'd like to hear your first-person accounts. 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. Now, you have a lot of detailed accounts of individual soldiers in your book, and I'd like you to first talk about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. We seem to have a much higher rate of reported symptoms, and we also seem to have a real underservice, both in terms of the military medical system and the Veterans Administration. In your book, you not only have these accounts, but you also offer a lot of helpful resources, organizations with websites and toll-free numbers. And so this is not just a narrative. It also includes self-help and resources for people who have those needs. But talk a little bit about PTSD and the extent to which we are under-responding to it.
Well, I mean, just some numbers, because I think people are generally unaware of the scope of the crisis that we're dealing with. We have about 2 million veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And according to the RAND Corporation, about 300,000 of them are coming home with post-traumatic stress disorder or major depression. And then in addition to that, Peter, we have another 300,000 coming home with traumatic brain injuries. Now, that's physical brain damage, which is often caused by roadside bombs. It's basically a concussion or multiple concussions that have caused permanent damage to your brain. And many people are coming home with both. With both post-traumatic stress disorder, which is a mental wound, and traumatic brain injury, which is a physical wound. And the way to think about this post-traumatic stress disorder, I mean, people have flashbacks, people have trouble sleeping at night, people, as I was saying, sleep with their weapon sometimes, or everyone is different. But the basic idea is you come home from the war, but in your mind, you are still in the war. And another way to think about it is that it's trauma. All of us in our lives may experience trauma. Maybe we're involved in a car crash. Maybe we are in a domestic violence situation. But the post-traumatic stress disorder that our soldiers and veterans are experiencing over in Iraq and Afghanistan is like, imagine that you were in a car accident every single day for a year. Or imagine, as many of our soldiers in this war have, sort of 2, 3, 4, or 5 tours in Iraq or Afghanistan. So imagine that you were in a car crash every day for 5 years. And every day you woke up and there was another car crash, and then you come home and everything is supposed to be just fine.
Yeah. And the toll on families is very apparent, too. We have a very high divorce rate. We have had a spate of grisly murders and murder-suicides committed by soldiers who've come back from Iraq. And some of this speaks, Aaron Glantz, to the culture of denial that the military has, which is that, you know, you should work when you're hurt, you know, and you got to be tough. And particularly when it comes to mental stresses, mental illness, the military culture is very resistant to compassion and understanding and treatment for those.
Well, we just found out that more soldiers, active duty Army members, committed suicide in the month of January than were killed by the enemy in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's a tragedy, and it's very preventable. Because while I agree with you, there is a stigma associated with this kind of mental illness in the military, and everyone wants to be tough, and everyone wants to be good to go. I document in my book many cases where the soldier or the veteran came forward, and they said, I need help. I have post-traumatic stress disorder. I can't sleep at night. I have nightmares. I'm drinking too much. And one of two things happens. Either one, they're dishonorably discharged for having a pre-existing condition, or two, they're just sent out to Iraq again. And I tell the story in my book of Brian Jason Rand. He was a sergeant who grew up outside of Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, had already served 2 tours in Iraq, was having terrible nightmares, told his sister that he was thinking about killing himself, went to the Army, requested care. Army didn't do anything for him, ordered to start training for a third deployment to Iraq, and he shot himself under the Cumberland River Bridge in Clarksville, Kentucky. And his death was 100% preventable, and he didn't have to die. I tell the story of Jeffrey Lucy of Belchertown, Massachusetts. He was out of the Marine Corps already, back living in Massachusetts, out of the service. He started to drink too much, dropped out of community college. His parents convinced him to go into the VA. They drove him to the VA. He showed up. He told the VA practitioners that he was thinking of killing himself. He told them how he planned on killing himself. And the VA practitioner said he was too drunk and needed to go home and sober up. And within 2 weeks, he had hung himself with a garden hose in his parents' basement. And his death was also preventable.
Yeah. Aaron Glantz is with us. It's a powerful new book, and I recommend it to you. It's just been published, The War Comes Home, Washington's Battle Against America's Veterans. Aaron's with us this entire hour. So if you'd like to comment or tell us a story of your own, we're all ears here at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And if you're listening on Sunday on Green 960 in San Francisco, drop me an email with your comments. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com. KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
This Valentine's Day reminder comes to you from Chavez Jewelry Designs. Have you ever noticed how important and meaningful it is to people to own beautiful jewelry? From a nice diamond ring to necklaces, bracelets, earrings, or watches, it is also nice to have a friend in the business. Here at Chavez Jewelry Designs, we want to be that friend to you. Someone you know you can turn to for the best products, the best advice, and the best price. And we can personalize your gifts with our ring sizing and engraving services. Why don't you come by and check us out? Chavez Jewelry Designs is located in Watsonville at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in the Crestview Shopping Center. We're open weekdays from 10 to 7 and closed weekends. Our phone number is 768-8004. I can't wait to meet you or receive your call at 768-8004. Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Summer in Santa Cruz, you just can't beat it. It's time for friends, family, fun, and food. Whether it's an afternoon barbecue or a dining room banquet, it all begins with getting the best quality food at the best prices. For nearly 70 years, Shopper's Corner Market has delivered both. Shopper's Corner is the oldest family-owned and operated independent grocery store. It's where the locals shop.
I like their meat department. That's what I buy here.
They have a good organic selection.
Things you can't find other places.
Enjoy the friendliest service and fastest checkout at Shopper's while taking advantage of the everyday low prices on USDA choice meats, fresh local seafood, and produce.
Their produce is great. Actually, I shop around quite a few different places, but I always come back here because they have the best.
The variety of stuff you find here you don't find other places, and the service.
Shoppers has a vast assortment of cheeses and specialty foods, along with one of the best wine selections in the Monterey Bay area. Shoppers Corner, on the corner of Soquel Avenue and Brant 40 in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at shopperscorner.com.
I shop here because of the fact I live around the corner.
Shoppers Corner, it's where the locals shop.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Ponch, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
This Friday, the 13th, Dominguez Hills will be at the Kelt Bed. Saturday, the 14th, Los Angeles flies in for a game. Both at 7:30 on KRXA 540.
Good afternoon. This is Mrs. Sunshine with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We're reporting a traffic hazard in Monterey at 11440 Cooper Street and a traffic collision in Monterey on Blackie Road just west of Equestrian Place. And in Santa Cruz, a traffic collision southbound Route 1 just south of Rio Del Mar Boulevard. So it's been raining around here, so watch out, drive carefully.
This is Billy Sunshine with your KRXA weather. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a possibility of thunderstorms and light rain showers. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. Current temperature in the mid to low 50s. And now stick around for Peter B. Collins coming up next on KRXA 540 AM, where it's no coincidence we're at the extreme left side of the aisle.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Nature's way telling you something wrong. Nature's way telling you with a song. Nature's way of receiving you. Nature's way of retrieving. Something's wrong.
guest this hour is writer Aaron Glantz. He spent about 3 years in Iraq as an unembedded journalist. The War Comes Home, subtitled Washington's Battle Against America's Veterans. It's out in hardcover from the University of California Press. Aaron, next, I'd like you to talk about the heavy impact on reservists and National Guardsmen in this whole deployment in Iraq and Afghanistan. And one of the people you profile is 43-year-old Will Byersdorf of Illinois. Tell us his story.
Well, Will Byersdorf had signed up for the military, like a lot of people who sign up for the Guard and Reserve to kind of serve in their community in an emergency, to do flood relief if there's a flood, if there's a hurricane in Louisiana to go help out. And he ended up, after 9/11, being sent to guard detainees at Guantanamo. And in the year that he was gone, his family basically lost his income. He had a good white-collar job working for Siebel Systems, headquartered in Emeryville, and they are required by law to give him his job back, but they're not required to keep paying him.
Yeah.
And he was getting money as a reservist per his rank, but it was a lot less than he would have been making had he continued to work, and he almost lost his home. And more important than that, I think, was the effect that it had on his family and his children wondering where Daddy went.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in his case, he was only gone for a year because he was in the reserves. But we have a lot of people who have served multiple tours. Mm-hmm. They'll go to Afghanistan for a year, then they'll go to Iraq for a year, then back to Iraq. I remember interviewing one gentleman. He was a lieutenant in the Navy. He had a 5-year-old son who he hadn't seen for 4 years. And you contrast this to the Vietnam experience. I mean, people think that it was pretty rough being in Vietnam. It absolutely was. But most people who fought in the Vietnam War, they went over, and 1 year to the day that they set foot in Vietnam, they were back home, and they didn't have to go again if they had been drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And in this war, we have stop loss, we have the backdoor draft, and what this means is that for those people who do serve in this war, they can never get out of the war.
And you offer the calculations from both sides, the Rumsfeld point of view, which is, hey, it cuts down on recruiting and training. All we got to do is keep the same trained forces in the field for a longer period of time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the calculation that the administration was making. But they were, one, dishonest about it to the troops, and number two, they tried to do it on the cheap. You know, so you serve all of these tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, and you come home with traumatic brain injury, multiple brain injuries, or you come home with post-traumatic stress disorder. And then they say, well, we used you up, we spit you out, and now you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no surprise, then, that we have over 200,000 veterans sleeping homeless on the streets in this country on any given night. And one out of every 3 men and one out of every 4 people sleeping homeless on the streets of this country is a veteran, has worn the U.S. military uniform. And it's because once the military has used you up and spit you out, our country turns its back, and it's a disgrace.
And do we have stats yet on the new veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan and the extent of homelessness in that population?
It's difficult to tell, but we certainly have thousands. We don't know how many thousands. But the fact that we have any homeless Iraq and Afghanistan veterans yet is really cause for concern, because if historians look at the pattern of homelessness amongst our Vietnam veterans, they will tell you that people really didn't start to become homeless after Vietnam for some time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you come home, first thing you do, you move in with your folks, right? Burn your bridge with your folks, end up sponging off one of your friends, sleep on his couch, burn that bridge, go on public assistance. And this whole process of becoming homeless happened over a period of years
mm-hmm.
with our Vietnam veterans. But we have a smaller safety net. We have a smaller portion of the country that is experiencing this war because we don't have a draft, so family members are less willing to tolerate the behavior of some of our veterans. So people are very, very concerned that we are already seeing
mm-hmm.
Iraq and Afghanistan veterans coming home homeless.
And I'm just looking here at one of your resource pages here. You have various organizations that are listed, and now that I want to find one, here we go. Resources for Families, The National Military Family Association provides resources and support to spouses and children. Is this an organization you can recommend?
All 23 boxes that I have in this book are organizations that I would recommend. And I also have a box with links to organizations that I do not recommend.
I saw that, yeah.
Because there are a lot of people out there posing to help our veterans who don't actually come through. But I thought it was very important. I mean, this book is an indictment on Washington. The subtitle, it's War Comes Home, Washington's Battle Against America's Veterans, because we make our veterans battle every step of the way to get the benefits that we promised them. And I thought it was very important that we also, in addition to providing that indictment, document the battle and how best to fight it. So there's some resources. If you have a disability claim, you want to file a disability claim, you should get some help, because if you don't get that help, they're going to deny you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's places to go for help in filing that claim.
Aaron Glantz is with us, and he'll continue through the hour. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. As you heard, the book is called The War Comes Home, and as we continue, we'll talk about the impact on women in combat and coming home, and also take a look at some of the other issues related to Walter Reed, the Veterans Administration, and some of the other problems that veterans are confronting as they come home from Bush's wars. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The word he dares not utter. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Nobody understood what the Treasury Secretary was trying to say yesterday, but everybody understood what the stock market was saying, which was, sir, we have no idea what you're saying. Secretary Geithner's problem is that for all the money that's been lobbed at the big banks, they continue to sit on millions of vacant houses they refuse to sell because they don't like the price they'll get. They don't like the price they'll get because if they sold those houses for that price, they'd be insolvent. They'd have to fold. Management would be out of a job. But the Treasury will absolve them of their stupid loan decisions by buying up their vacant houses without forcing their banks to fold. By now you're asking, well, why not just let them fold? Because, and the bankers seem to know this, that for the government to step in and do what really needs to be done would amount to temporarily nationalizing some very big banks and breaking them up into small banks. Well, bankers paid attention during the 2008 campaign, and they're betting that Democrats are afraid to nationalize banks because that would play into everybody's worst fears about Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi, namely that they are socialists. Socialists, you want to nationalize banks, healthcare, oil, fast food. And that, I'm guessing, is why the Treasury Secretary couldn't provide any details yesterday, because he can't do the one thing that would actually work. And so instead, he's trying to put a pin through a balloon without popping it. And as we know, only a trained magician can do that. Now this.
Whether you run a small business or a big enterprise, you face similar IT challenges every day, including network security, user productivity, network and application performance, and data storage and email retrieval. That's why over 70,000 businesses like yours count on Barracuda Networks to solve these challenges right out of the box without IT expertise at a price that any business can afford. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for a free 30-day trial of any of our security, productivity, or storage appliances. That's 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or see for yourself at Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is writer Aaron Glantz. His powerful new book, The War Comes Home, Washington's Battle Against Americans Veteran, and he's focused on the recent vets from Iraq and Afghanistan. We've got some callers on the line. We'll go to you in just a moment. Aaron, you cite a mutual friend in the book in several places, Dar Jamail. He's an independent journalist. People can find his work at dahrdar.org. And he is in Iraq right now. I've made 44 phone calls trying to get through and have been unsuccessful because of the, I don't know exactly
it's
why.
It's because of all the democracy and the freedom that we've delivered to them. The phones work beautifully.
Well, and I imagine AT&T has the contract or, you know, Sprint.
WorldCom, actually. I don't know who has it now, but when I was last over there, MCI, which was then bought by WorldCom, had this contract.
So, I do acknowledge that there has been a much more peaceful period here. And the U.S. military is saying that basically the last 10 weeks there haven't been major incidents one after another. There have been isolated attacks, and nobody is saying that it's totally peaceful. But it has calmed down. And I have two questions for you from your perspective. Did the surge actually work, and do I need to modify my position? And where the hell is Muqtada al-Sadr these days?
Okay. This is how the question that this is very much related to is, are we winning? Are we winning this war? I would say no. And this is why I would say that. We are now 6 years into the war in Iraq, a war which did not have to be fought. We have 2 million American veterans. We have about 4,000 American dead. Of the veterans we've been talking about, the post-traumatic stress disorder, the traumatic brain injury they're experiencing. Inside of Iraq, we have probably 1 million dead. We have 5 million refugees, either inside the country, they've gone back to their ancestral villages, they've given up their day jobs and are basically hiding in small towns. And then we have another few million that have fled the country entirely and are in Jordan or Syria. I have one friend who I worked with as a translator in Iraq. He had to flee the country. He had five brothers at the beginning of this war. One of them is dead and was killed by the insurgents. One of them was put into Abu Ghraib prison by the Americans. He's in the United States. Another one of his brothers was kidnapped for ransom and has subsequently completely disappeared. His family doesn't know where he is. And he has one brother left who is supposed to be supporting this whole extended family now. And he's depressed because of the tremendous losses that he suffered. And anyone who's going to come and tell me that we're winning this war should go tell it to that family or to the families of the people who have been wounded or killed in Iraq and tell them that all of this is worth the cost that they're bearing. The violence is down. I don't think that it's because of the surge. I think it's because of the exhaustion that the Iraqi people are experiencing after all of this loss, after so many years of war. In the beginning, when I was first there in 2003, people were very happy that Saddam Hussein had been overthrown. And they weren't shooting at us because they wanted to see what we were all about. Then they got frustrated. The electricity was gone, that political movements were being attacked. that villages were being leveled by the U.S. military, and so they started to support an armed insurgency. But all that led to was death on all sides. And so I think we've seen a scaling back of that. There is an appreciation even in Iraq that we are in a new political era with a new president in this country, a new commander-in-chief. And I think people are very interested in Iraq in what this new president is going to deliver. And I think that if President Obama begins to withdraw our troops from Iraq, bring them home, and give them the care that they need, that we will continue to see a low amount of violence in Iraq. But I believe that if he continues our occupation, then these people in Iraq, many of whom I know who have been sitting on the sidelines, they will re-enter the fray. They will begin to shoot again, because nobody in Iraq will accept a long-term U.S. military occupation.
Now, when you talk about the fatigue, have the Sunnis gotten tired of settling scores with the Shia?
Well, we're paying them off.
We've also segregated them.
They have done a lot of killing of each other, and we have been selling arms to all sides. And people, I think in this country, many people misunderstood the nature of the sectarian violence in Iraq. It was a security issue. Imagine if a number of years go by and there's no police in your hometown. I mean, there's no police in Iraq. The Iraqi police, since the overthrow of Saddam Hussein, have been proxy warriors for our occupation. Mm-hmm. There's no police. So to protect your family, you don't call 911 in Iraq. You call the local militia. And then by and by, these militias started fighting each other for turf. And we were arming all of them. And now they've cleansed their neighborhoods, so all of the neighborhoods are monolithic. And nobody's going to each other's neighborhood to settle a score. They're all settling the scores inside their own neighborhood. So all of these people right now, in the short term, are collaborating with us because they are accepting American weaponry and American cash. And they are getting stronger and stronger. And so if we don't leave, then they will eventually have more weapons that we gave them to turn on us at the time of their choosing.
So where is Sutter, Muqtada al-Sadr?
Well, I don't even think it's important where he is.
Yeah?
The important thing is that his movement has millions of followers.
Well, see, my feeling is that he's lying in wait, and that at some point he will assert himself and take on the Maliki government.
Well, his followers are all over the country, and they're very active all the time in their mosques and in their communities. And I wrote about in my first book, How America Lost Iraq, the tremendous community service, you could say, that they're doing. Because we didn't reconstruct Iraq. We gave all of the money to Halliburton and Bechtel, which then flushed it down the toilet and into their pocketbooks.
It's the model we deplore in Hezbollah and Hamas as
They
provide social services.
So all of that is continuing. And so he's not biding his time. He's strengthening his movement. And I think that one of the things that the Bush administration was never serious about was democracy in Iraq.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons they were not serious about that is because they did not want democracy if somebody like Muqtada was going to win. But unfortunately, a lot of people in Iraq like him.
All right, let's take some calls. Dan's been holding for a while from New York. Welcome, Dan. You're on the PBC show with Aaron Glantz.
Hello, Peter. Hello, Aaron.
Hi.
I think I heard that right. Your first name. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I think what I wanted to say, and I think that something that you are going to get to, is that there is there's help and assistance available from veterans of previous wars, from organizations, and also there, you know, you have your own organization. It's good to organize, train veteran service officers, and fight, because you're going to need it.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be very important if you're an Iraq or Afghanistan war veteran listening and you're coming home and you're not quite sure what's wrong with you. Connect up with a veteran of a previous war that's been through all this before. It'll do you a world of good.
Get a hold of the vet centers in your areas, if you have them. Organize your own chapters of IAVA. I believe that's the acronym for it.
You're right.
Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America.
That's correct. Yeah.
It's a non-political group, but they what it does is gives you political clout
I think for
veterans issues.
And I think, you know, it sounds like pretty ridiculous, but copy your congressman on all of your communications with the VA. When you come home from Iraq, Peter, if you have post-traumatic stress disorder, the very first thing that the VA makes you do is fill out a 26-page form.
Great.
Really?
That'll help.
Where you have to document exactly how you were traumatized. What happened? You have to get letters from all of your battle buddies corroborating your story. You have to get your own military records and find out if there was any documentation of it. And if there was no documentation of it because you were in a frickin' war and people were shooting at you and nobody had time to fill out the form, then you got to make sure that there's somebody pretty high ranking writes a letter for you. And it's very important that the VA see that the congressman has been copied on this paperwork, or, as the caller suggests, that you are getting help from a veteran service officer, maybe with the American Legion or Disabled American Veterans, or maybe somebody working for the county government to help you fill out this form, because it's not like the IRS. You know, people in America don't like the IRS very much. But if we would just make our VA system as simple and easy to use as the Internal Revenue Service, we would be in a much better situation.
Mm-hmm. Dan, would you like to add anything else?
No, I think you're pretty much covering it. Most states have veteran service officers also, and these people know the ropes. Otherwise, you're going to get lost, and it's a desert out there.
Brother, I thank you for your service, and thank you for sharing your knowledge with our listeners.
And thank you for yours. Hang in there and fight. They're gonna send you away the first time. Because they know that 9 out of 10 of you are going to walk away from it. Stick in there. Hang in there. If you have a legitimate claim, don't die until they do what they're supposed to do.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks for your voice. I really appreciate that. Now, John in Maple Creek. Welcome, John. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
You know, the biggest problem that I have is budgeting for Veterans Affairs. I don't think there should be a budget. It should come off the top of everything, because I didn't support the war. But whether you supported the war or not, they're there because we sent them. Me and you, even people against the war, we put them there.
Well, I can't disagree with you, John.
I think John has an excellent point, Peter, because think about the way we budget for Social Security, right? Everybody gets Social Security when they retire. Imagine if we budgeted for Social Security the way we budget for health care for our veterans. If we said, okay, when you get to 65, everyone in America has to share $100. And if there's too many people, then you all will only get 14 cents each. Our veterans, when they serve, if they are disabled in the line of duty, they are entitled to disability benefits. If they come home and they need medical care for their wounds, they are entitled to go to the VA and get that care. And I don't think anyone would disagree with that, left, right, center. But that's not how we budget, as John suggests. We set an arbitrary number for how much the politicians feel like spending on our veterans. And then the VA takes that budget, and then they try to figure out how they can turn away enough veterans so that they can actually make do with that budget.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the VA's fault. I mean, if they were fully budgeted, if they were funded adequately, they wouldn't be in the business of trying to figure out ways to turn people away.
Good reaction to General Shinseki's nomination among veterans?
I think that people are very happy about General Shinseki, mostly because he stood up to Donald Rumsfeld in the beginning of the war in Iraq, because everyone, regardless of whether they were for or against the war, thought Donald Rumsfeld was completely crazy about the way he was carrying it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with this issue, the proof is in the pudding.
John, thanks for your call today.
All right, thanks.
Always good to hear from you. One of our thinking Republicans here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll take a break and return with Aaron Glantz. Get his new book. It's called The War Comes Home, Washington's Battle Against America's Veterans. Lines open if you'd like to comment at 888-5-PETER-B.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
afternoon. This is Mrs. Sunshine with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather. There's a traffic collision in Monterey on Blackie Road just west of Equestrian Place. And in Monterey County, a traffic hazard at Associated Lane at Route 12 with CHP en route.
And this is Billy Sunshine with your weather. Scattered rain showers and chance of thunderstorms tonight. Tomorrow mostly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. Current temperature in the mid to low 50s. There is a high surf advisory now in effect around the Monterey Bay from 6 p.m. this evening to 6 p.m. tomorrow. Stick around for Peter B. Collins on KRXA 540, where it's no coincidence we're at the extreme left side of the dial.
Hello, KRXA listeners. This is Sylvia Waldrop Quarles, president of the Monterey County Branch NAACP. We're excited to announce our annual Life Membership Awards Dinner being held on Saturday, February 21st from 6 to 10 at the lovely Embassy Suites. KRXA's own Hal Ginsberg will be receiving the NAACP's Spirit of Partnership Award. Come to the dinner to show your support on February 21st. For tickets, call us at 394-3727. Tickets are $75 each. Again, call us at 394-3727. Yes, that's 394-3727.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hi, I'm Audrey Williams.
And I'm Melvin Williams.
Check out our new show, Holy Hip Hop on the Block, every Saturday from 10 to 12 noon, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Check us out.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Aaron Glantz is my guest, talking about veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. And Charlie Daniels leans pretty far to the right these days, but I think he ought to update this song.
Got on a plane in Frisco and got off in Vietnam. I walked into a different world.
For a long-haired redneck country boy, he does a pretty good job of chronicling that experience, doesn't he, Aaron?
It's pretty incredible listening to it. Whenever you come back from a war, every war has its differences, but the homecoming, I think, is often quite similar.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's unique about this homecoming is two things. The first is that the war is still going on. So people coming home from the war right now are still in Iraq, not only because of the trauma, but also because many of their friends are still over there fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who get out of the military, they want to be right there with their brothers. And when they hear about one of their friends getting killed, It's pretty hard to go to school after you learn. Why wasn't I there? Why wasn't I there to protect him? And especially in this war, the other big difference, I think, is the country's just not paying attention anymore. Latest Pew survey showed only about 2% of news stories are about the war. But the war is not over. It's continuing, both of them.
Yeah.
And President Obama is going to de-escalate the war in Iraq and escalate the war in Afghanistan. And no matter how you think about that politically, what it means at the end of the day is that for our fighting men and women, the war will continue at basically the same rate.
Yeah. Carl Young is a Vietnam vet in Humboldt County, and he just emailed me with a video that's available on the web called Welcoming Home, Our Newest Generation of Veterans, and he's responding to the theme here of reaching out to the incoming vets from Iraq and Afghanistan.
I also think it's interesting that Carl emailed you and sent a video, because since these things are sometimes difficult to discuss, we respond in any way we can. We respond with poetry, we respond with music, we respond with a video collage. And I really appreciate him chiming in his way. My way to respond was to write this book.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I wrote it was because I felt like people in America needed to understand this, because people are coming home to every community in America. If you have a brother or a cousin or a son or a daughter who's come home from the war, I wanted to have a book available that you could read that would help you relate to their experience. And for the rest of us, I think it's important that we do our part,
mm-hmm.
that we not forget, because everyone in America, we all just want to wake up and forget that George Bush ever happened. We want to close the door on that and move on to the next thing, maybe string up Donald Rumsfeld on our way out. But we are going to have to do the dirty work. We are going to have to take care of these 2 million Americans who fought in these wars. And
for
not
generations.
Yeah, we're going to have to stick on this.
Mm-hmm.
And
the last World War One vet died in maybe 2 years ago.
And absolutely.
So that gives you an idea that it's a 70 to 75 year commitment, and it's not something that we should take cavalierly. Aaron, the phrase men and women, referring to our troops, has become almost hackneyed. But this is our first major co-ed deployment, and there were serious problems, as you recap in the book. Women who stopped drinking liquids, even in the desert summer heat, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so they wouldn't have to make a bathroom call after dark and risk being raped by members of their own armed forces.
One woman, Nicole Gordon, what she said to me is she was not raped, but she had to live with the knowledge that other women at her same post had been raped using the bathroom. And she said, I'm over here risking my life worried about the enemy, and then I also have to watch my back to see if anybody's coming up behind me. And this is the experience of many, many women in the military. And at Camp Victory, which is west of Baghdad near the airport there, a number of women died of dehydration because assaults had occurred on the post. And then they stopped drinking, as you said. And then, you know,
their superiors were told not to make a big deal out of it.
No, they'll make a big deal about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was the same superiors who let Abu Ghraib prison scandal happen. They were clearly not keeping a very close watch on things.
Mm-hmm. So going forward, what do we need to address in terms of deploying women in combat? One of the things you point out is that Iraq is a zone where there were no hookers, no R&R camps, an easy flight away, like Thailand was, as a comfort zone, if you will. Whether you like the morality of that or not, it was a safety valve, a relief valve for the troops.
Well, I think that what we need to do is just be realistic. I mean, for crying out loud, we need to, the problem at that base at Camp Victory was they didn't want to light the women's bathroom because they didn't want to admit that they had all these women along fighting the battle. We just need to be realistic all the way through. We need to understand as a country that when you fight a war, people get hurt. You know, that war is not just something that happens on television, that it's not the way it works in a video game where you get 8 lives or you just get to turn it off and, like, you know, go eat dinner afterwards. That this is serious business. This is serious business for everybody involved, for the civilian people, people, for the soldiers fighting the war, for the refugees who have had to flee, for journalists like myself, for aid workers. Nobody goes through that experience and comes back the same. And even when we're going through that experience, we still need support. And, you know, we need to make sure that when we are engaged in a war, that we are realistic. You asked me about General Shinseki. I think that that's one thing that has people optimistic now that President Obama has appointed him to head the VA. He said, I don't think this war is a good idea, but if you do it, you need a lot of soldiers. And Donald Rumsfeld said, no, we're going to try to do this on the cheap. And we're trying to deliver health care to our veterans on the cheap. We're going to try to cut them loose easily so we don't have to pay for them. And I'm hoping that with this new administration that we have a more realistic vision of what it means to support the troops.
Yeah. Well, Aaron, I want to thank you. I really appreciate talking with you, and you bring a lot of information and first-person knowledge to this. And I want people to read your book. And as you said, this is a gift to the families of veterans returning who say, what happened to my loved one? Why is he or she not the same person? And I think your book is very helpful, including the resources that you offer. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
The War Comes Home, Washington's Battle Against America's Veteran. That's veterans, sorry. Aaron Glantz has been our guest this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can share a podcast of this or any other hour of the program with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Under President Obama's urging, Congress will soon be ready to take final votes on the economic stimulus plan. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed has today's developments.
At a stalled road project in Virginia, 20 miles from the White House, the president said the time for debating his stimulus package is over.
We're surrounded by unmet needs and unfinished business.
A few hours later, a deal, by congressional standards, reached at lightning speed after negotiations that lasted well into the night Tuesday and continued through today. Representing the White House was Chief of Staff and hard-nosed negotiator Rahm Emanuel. But it was three moderate Republicans whose votes are essential to passing the bill who largely controlled the discussions and forced Democrats to cut spending by more than $30 billion, bringing the total to $789 billion.
It's expected to be passed and sent to the president's desk by the end of the week. The chief executives of major banks appeared before a House panel today, called to account for the billions they took from the government. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports.
The executives represent eight banks that got $160 billion in bailout funds, somewhat contrite over their role in the economic crisis.
We are sorry for it. I'm especially sorry for what's happened to shareholders.
It didn't help that New York's attorney general is investigating a bailout bonus scandal. Merrill Lynch lost $27 billion last year and took $10 billion in taxpayer funds, but handed out $4 billion in bonuses just before getting swallowed up by Bank of America. One executive worked there just 3 months and got $29 million.
The CEOs said they've cut bonuses way back, and at least one said their industry's compensation plan needs to change. 67 computers are missing from the Los Alamos nuclear weapons lab in New Mexico. Ingrid Drake is with the Project on Government Oversight, a watchdog group.
Los Alamos is a lab that receives $2.4 billion in taxpayer money. This is one in a series of incidents that we've seen that shows that some actual incompetence and some security risks at a lab of this size and this caliber.
The lab says the computers did not contain classified information. It's a first for the U.S. Navy's new task force formed to combat piracy off the coast of Somalia. Today, Lieutenant Nathan Christensen says the guided missile cruiser Vela Gulf intercepted seven suspected pirates in the Gulf of Aden.
There were no shots fired. It was a consensual boarding.
Last year, pirates hijacked dozens of ships in that area, collecting tens of millions of dollars in ransom. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood tells us there's been an accident in orbit.
U.S. Space Command is tracking a cloud of debris from the collision of an old Russian Cosmos satellite and an Iridium satellite. This is a spacecraft, one of 66 in orbit, that provide telephone communications around the world.
The debris is nearly 500 miles up, likely to burn up in the atmosphere. The Dow gained 50 points today. This is CBS News.
This Valentine's Day, there are two things you don't want to break. Her heart and your budget. So go to Walgreens. With great prices on everything from boxed candy to fragrances and cards, Walgreens has more than enough love to go around. Everything to make your loved one's day. And with thousands of convenient locations, many open 24 hours, Walgreens is just around the corner. So there's one more thing you'll save. Time. In every way, Valentine's is sweeter at Walgreens.
Hi, this is Jim McCann. This Valentine's, give her something to talk about.
Now through Thursday, 1-800-Flowers.com is offering 18 long-stem multicolored roses, plus a beautiful Valentine vase and a box of gourmet chocolates, all for only $29.99. Just click on the radio icon to get this offer. Surprise her at work or home with flowers that will last all week, 100% satisfaction guarantee. Valentine's is coming out, so call or visit 1-800-Flowers.com today.
Pick the best. We always do.
The marijuana lobby says Kellogg was wrong to dump Olympic champion Michael Phelps. CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett has the story.
Two famous faces on a cereal box raising fists in triumph.
They're great.
Tony the Tiger and Michael Phelps. The 8-times golden swimmer in Beijing was on another box.
Nothing gets you crowing in the morning like Kellogg's cornflakes.
When the photo of Phelps with a bong made the papers, Kellogg's dumped him.
That's just more than the company can handle. It seems like maybe they've been living under a rock for the last 40 years.
Dan Bernath is with the Marijuana Policy Project.
What he was caught doing was using a drug that's demonstrably safer than alcohol or tobacco.
So now
there is a boycott going on.
Pro-pot people say stay away from Kellogg's. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
Sleet was falling on the night of January 26th when a motorcyclist crashed into an Arkansas State Police car and kept going. The trooper finally stopped Christopher Clark, who's charged with a variety of offenses, including not wearing a helmet or anything else. He was naked. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
This Valentine's Day, there are two things you don't want to break. Her heart and your budget. So go to Walgreens. With great prices on everything from boxed candy to fragrances and cards, Walgreens has more than enough love to go around. Everything to make your loved one's day. And with thousands of convenient locations, many open 24 hours, Walgreens is just around the corner. So there's one more thing you'll save. Time. In every way, Valentine's is sweeter than Walgreens.
Two drivers, two very different stories heading home on a dark evening.
I hit the open road.
A deer popped out of nowhere. I panicked.
I saw a deer in the road. I slowed down.
I jerked the wheel. I wish I could have seen it.
I drove around it and was home before the next song on the radio.
With Silver Star headlights from Sylvania, you'll see more of the road ahead. Remember, headlights dim over time. Replace them before you are left in the dark. Visit your automotive retailer and choose the whitest, brightest light. Silver Star headlights from Sylvania.
Come on, CD player. I know you can do it. Here comes our pronouncer with a very important introduction.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
So I'm blaming it on the internet. My little technical glitch there a moment ago is that I'm logged on to the daily censored sign-up page. I'm trying to receive the daily censored alert, and I'm being knocked out by validation failure. Let's see if the boss man at Project Censored can give me a little tech support. Peter Phillips joins me today. Hi, Peter.
Hey, how's it going, Peter?
Well, I was fine until I hit
your...
You know, the listserv for Project Censored is at Sonoma State University, and they self-certify. So Google, when you go on, will give you a warning saying that they're not secure, but they are.
Okay.
You can just click past it.
Now, what I'm doing is I'm signing up to receive your daily censored report.
Well,
and I've filed the username and email, gave
it
a...
through the Daily Censored?
Yeah. And
well,
so,
that should work.
But the very last part is a validation image. It's a spam prevention device. I understand that. And I've entered about six of them correctly, and it keeps saying, oh, no, that does not match.
you can forward that to me, and I'll send it to the webmaster, Adam.
Okay. Well, this is our good way of introducing something that I've been looking for a long time. And I got an email from you out of the blue about 10 days ago because I've been talking with a fellow media person who's concerned about the failure of certain stories to appear or get played. And I said, well, Project Censored does a great job, but, you know, it only comes out once a year. And you're addressing that. Tell us about your blog and now this Daily Censored email alert.
Well, the blog is basically that, and it's several of us blogging stuff we see or we think is really important or commenting on it. The Daily Censored Alert, that's the independent news service.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is an online RSS feed from 20 different independent news organizations around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes daily. So there's as much news content there as you would find literally in the New York Times from independent sources. These are non-corporate sources, so Free Speech Radio News, the Christian Science Monitor, Alternet, BBC, Consortium News, Bayview, Al Jazeera in English, Democracy Now!, IPS, Common Dreams, The Guardian, NACLA, and the Electronic Infratata are the front page news sources.
So you give us a daily digest from all of those different sources?
Well, there are RSS feeds that are out there in the world, but I think we're the only ones at this point that's put this all in one place, and which makes it quite convenient.
Yeah, because I have problems, you know, keeping up with everything, and I drop in a Daily Coast maybe once a week, and Democratic Underground escapes me a lot of times, but there's a lot of good reporting and information and analysis out there.
This comes out of, as you remember, the Truth Emergency Conference that we did a year ago in Santa Cruz.
Right.
And from the 300 to 400 people that were there, they said, well, let's do this. Let's build a trustworthy news site that has the regular feeds from independent sources. And so we have proceeded to do that. And with that, we also have the independent news analysis sources from around the world. And this is a building site, so we're still looking for recommendations. And the criteria is that they need to be independent, non-corporate news sources, and that they need to be, you know, validated by, you know, well, we had like 300 or 400 people that recommended these initially. And consider trustworthy sources.
Now let's just take a look here at the blog, a post by Peter Phillips on February 11th, Pelosi and Star-Kissed Tuna. And what you are reporting here, it appears, was tipped to you by Ann Morton.
Correct.
And what you write is that Nancy Pelosi's home district includes San Francisco's Star-Kissed Tuna's headquarters here. And it's owned by Del Monte Foods. They're a major contributor to Pelosi. And they're also a major employer in American Samoa, where they employ 75%, of the Samoan workforce. And Paul Pelosi owns $1.7 million in stock in Star-Kissed Tuna. I didn't know that.
Well, I didn't either. And it was an interesting thing. It would certainly be something that we could research further.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had stories in a relationship with Nancy Pelosi in business stuff and certainly our Senator Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, that Feinstein story still deserves to be more widely exposed.
It certainly does. In fact, you know, we're working on a story this year where it shows that over one-third of the members of Congress have investments in military-industrial companies.
Wow. That's stunning. Now, Peter Phillips, let's take a moment here to ask you to describe what you mean by a truth emergency.
Well, a truth emergency means that there are a number of very important issues facing the American people, that for which there's contingents of questioners. Certainly, election fraud issues.
Mm-hmm.
The 2004 election, the exit polls are 9 million votes different than what the voting machine said. This is primarily in 13 states, so there was certainly many people have concluded there was fraud in that election. That has never been covered by the corporate media in the United States as a story. It's never been on television. Certainly, there's a number of people that are questioning the lies about torture and the reasons for going to war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
They're part of the peace movement in this country, part of the impeachment movement, which gets very little notice and very little support from corporate media inside the United States, certainly during the Bush administration. But even now, I mean, Obama's saying let's look forward and not back, and let's, you know, that the idea that Bugalosi's book, you know, the calling for an indictment of war, mm-hmm. for war crimes of Bush and Rumsfeld is not seriously being approached in terms of corporate media understanding.
We talked to a man in Seattle last week who has raised funds to send a copy of Vincent Bugliosi's book to every district attorney in the United States.
Yeah, but it only take one.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. we certainly, I've seen the cover letter that went with that. I think it's a really appropriate thing to do. The evidence for criminal acts of torture, of violating citizens' rights to privacy, of simply invading Iraq in the first place, lying about weapons of mass destruction deliberately, and then the resulting 1 million deaths of Iraqis, and of course the 4,000 to 5,000 now U.S. Troops is more than reason for criminal indictment.
Mm-hmm. And, Peter Phillips, one of the things I have to add to the list is 9/11. I'm one of those people, and I know you're unafraid like me, to raise important questions about the myths that we have been fed, that have been buttressed by the corporate media. And whether you look at the Loose Change documentary or David Ray Griffin's books or the work of other investigators, it's very clear that the story we've been told doesn't square with basic physics. And yet,
with basic physics or basic facts. I mean, the biggest three problems with 9/11 are the pre-warnings, which were extensive from every country in Europe practically, as complete as hijacked airplanes and the World Trade Center was the target. The failure for the FAA and the Air Force to intercede over a couple-hour period on 9/11 is a big problem, and then the collapse of Building 7 never happened before, or the speed at which it collapsed, it was defiant to physics. So, you know, those are, in my mind, the three most significant unanswered questions of 9/11, but there's certainly many, many more.
And when you look at the corporate media and what their goals are, which are to generate ratings and sell advertising based on ratings, you would think that these critical stories that, you know, not only are crucial to our survival as a country and the sense of democracy that we embrace, but you know, these could be big stories that could make a reporter's career, that could make a Dateline or a 2020 into a huge rating success. And so even for self-interest purposes, they are unwilling to report what are obviously stories that deserve more attention and that don't measure up to a basic smell test.
You would think so. But corporate media is essentially, you know, they're in the profit-making business. They are part of the military-industrial complex of the United States. In fact, there's major presence on the boards of directors of the big corporate media groups from Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Carlyle,
mm-hmm.
Bechtel, you know, an interchange. So their vested interests are corporate. There's 118 people on the top 10 media boards. They in turn sit on like 25% of the corporate 1,000. So this is top-down news. This is corporate news. The news that the corporate power structure wants Americans to know, and it's the kind of meta-narrative of how wonderful, you know, corporations are and capitalism is. That's the overall thing, but they really want to keep us quiet about these contradictory issues. The collapse of the savings and loan industries and, you know, several years back and mm-hmm. what's behind that. The subprime mortgage collapse now, the economy, the whole transformation of American capitalism and the loss of working income for most of the people in this country, and a decline of living standards is a message that they're not very interested in covering.
Well, and I don't know about you, but over the last 6 months, somebody stole a one-third of my retirement account. It just evaporated, disappeared. And nobody's even talking about criminal behavior here. It's just the huge whoops. And we're all supposed to say, oh, gosh, isn't that too bad? Well, hey, Bernie Madoff is not the only thief who was riding this wave on Wall Street.
Exactly right. I had to chuckle when I saw Silverstein's name on a list of people that got lost money with him, though.
Oh, Larry Silverstein?
Yeah.
Mr. World Trade Center lease.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But absolutely right. I mean, there's far more to this. You know, my pension with CalPERS, they've lost something like 30% of their value in the last 6 months.
Right.
And it's just a huge loss that threatens the long-term stability of hundreds of thousands of retirees in the state of California.
We're talking with Peter Phillips. He's executive director of Project Censored at Sonoma State University. Visit their website, projectcensored.org. I've got dailycensored.com up. That's where you can sign up to receive the daily alert with the connection to the RSS feeds. And they've got an active blog there now, too. So they're highly interactive. They're updating on a regular basis. And this, for me, is a dream come true because they cover the serious omissions, the stories that you don't see in the corporate media. We'll pick up there as we continue. We're expecting Congresswoman Barbara Lee, the chair of the Black Caucus in Congress, to join us on the half hour. That's coming up here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays 3 to 5 p.m. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show, so please, if you tune in and hear basketball, listen in on Sundays from 3 to 5, The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Princess Monterey Whale Watching on Old Fisherman's Wharf in Monterey. Remember, if you hear basketball during my show on Saturday, tune in Sundays 3 to 5 for The Sheila Show. See ya.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibration.
Tools for Transformation
is being preempted by sports programming this month.
We'll run encore presentations of some of your favorite shows on the internet, so tune in. Good Vibration.
Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
If you transfer your IRAs, 401ks, or any retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, and $700,000 becomes $770,000. My name is Stephen DeJohn, president of the DeJohn Advisory Team. I was on the cover of Senior Market Advisor magazine because I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. And with securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your broker or banker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 866-515-6669 to receive your free video and brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup at one of our nationwide locations. Call 866-515-6669. It's a new year and it's time for change. Call 866-515-6669.
Good afternoon. This is Mrs. Sunshine, and this is your Wednesday, February 11th, KRXA 540 weather and traffic report. In Santa Cruz, there's an accident with CHP on the scene on northbound Route 1 just north of Soquel Drive. And an accident in Aptos on northbound Route 1 just north of State Park Drive. And a traffic hazard on northbound Route 1 just south of Rio Del Mar Boulevard, also in Aptos. So be careful along that stretch.
This is Billy Sunshine with your weather. Scattered rain showers and a chance of thunder showers tonight. Tomorrow mostly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. Current temperature, mid to low 50s. High surf advisory now in effect around Monterey Bay from 6 p.m. this evening to 6 p.m. tomorrow. And now, back to B2B Collins on 540 a.m., where it's no coincidence we're at the extreme left side of the dial.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Bruce, this is radio somewhere. I am somebody, and even if I bounce off the satellite, come on. Peter Phillips is our guest, project censored at Sonoma State University. And Peter, I want to draw you out on something here because we were talking about accountability and investigations. I'm really troubled by the way the new Justice Department embraced the Bush Justice Department's position on state secret privilege here in the San Francisco Appeals Court on Monday. I want Sybelle Edmonds ungagged, and I want to hear what she has to say. And we have a real lack of courage by journalists, and not just corporate journalists. They are the biggest offenders. But thinking back to how Watergate broke, it wasn't a congressional investigation or a truth commission or even a truthiness commission. It was the hard work of Woodward and Bernstein and the strong support of Katherine Graham, the publisher of the Washington Post, who didn't blink or bend when confronting the wrongdoing of the Nixon administration.
And Ben Bagdicky, and he was editor at the time.
Yeah. And so where can we find that kind of journalistic integrity and courage? Because I believe that the wrongdoing of the Bush people from Rove to David Addington to Cheney and the others is pretty well on the public record, and we shouldn't be relying on political figures to do that investigation.
Well, you're not getting corporate media to follow through on that kind of investigation. That's, you know, Fox, MSNBC, and CNN, they're just not going to do it. I mean, they certainly haven't done it. And it will get mentioned as it evolves, but it has to come from external sources. Now, they're dependent upon sources of news from the big, from official sources of news from the State Department, the Pentagon, the White House, and private corporations, who in turn hire PR firms to create the news. So that's their content. And so news gathering, investigative reporting is no longer part of the corporate media system.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it is, it's very symbolic and very limited.
So what should we do as citizens and consumers of news to encourage people to really dig into the stories we care most about?
Well, number one, I think we need to see corporate media as for what it is. That's an entertainment medium. And once we recognize that, then we can go to Project Censored's Personal News Network or many others like it and find independent, valid news and utilize research groups at universities and independent media groups. I think there's a lot of really good people out there doing good work It's just not well documented and protected. So we now have 25 universities affiliated with Project Censored are doing research on independent news stories. Our vision is that there will be 1,000 universities around the world validating independent news stories. That's what universities do well. And we hope that, we can build sources of news for people so that corporate media becomes irrelevant.
And as newspapers decline, do you see an opportunity here to come up with credible voices who can replace these organs that we've become so dependent on?
Oh, big time. I think that certainly even just our news site, and we hope this gets duplicated all over the world, you know, has more news there than the New York Times. And I certainly trust the sources better.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes a cultural transformation, and already that's occurring as young people, you know, people under 30, only 5% of them read a daily newspaper.
That's right.
And it's not like they're doing something wrong. They recognize the, you know, that the lack of content that's, you know, about stories that are important that affect their lives.
Well, Peter, I want to thank you for the work you do, and thank you for these upgrades at Project Censored, and I hope we've informed more people about it, and they'll be checking out and also contributing to the work you do.
Thank you very much, Peter. Glad to talk to you again.
Good to talk with you. Peter Phillips at ProjectCensored.org there at Sonoma State University. We'll take a break and return. We're scheduled to talk with Congresswoman Barbara Lee. I hope that comes through. It'll happen in just a few minutes here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. And my snail mail address for people who don't have web access is Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Tomorrow Matters is back on air Sundays from 10 to 11 a.m.
Green Talk Radio for the Central Coast.
I'm Deborah Lindsay.
And I'm Spencer Lindsay.
Join us as we dazzle you with local solutions to environmental issues.
We'll be talking about things like climate change,
green building,
alternative energy and transportation,
water conservation,
organic farming,
and bicycles,
and a whole lot more.
Join us on KRXA 540 AM, Sunday mornings at 10.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
Welcome to Isla Earth. Ever seen a manatee? Well, they look kind of like a tuskless walrus, big, slow, and pretty darn chunky. Makes you wonder why Christopher Columbus, the first European known to have seen one, mistook it for a mermaid. Manatees are marine mammals that can grow to be 10 feet long and weigh 3,500 pounds. These gentle giants communicate by emitting sounds underwater. When a mother was separated from her calf by a floodgate, a field scientist reported that they called to each other continuously for 2 hours before being reunited. Over the years, hunting and habitat destruction caused a sharp decline in the manatee population. Fewer than 3,000 survive in the wild, mostly in Florida. They've been protected for at least 100 years and were listed as an endangered species in 1967. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service reports that collisions with boats are now the leading cause of human-related manatee deaths. Florida has created slow-speed zones in areas where manatees congregate. This simple measure has dramatically reduced the number of manatee injuries and deaths, helping to protect this gentle giant for future generations. Learn more about manatees and how to protect them at islaearth.org.
Isla Earth is produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy with support from its Fund for a Sustainable Planet, because Earth is an island.
Eight, we live next door to each other.
Seven, our kids are classmates.
One in eight Americans is struggling with hunger.
Six, I work at the gas station.
Including millions of children and seniors.
Five, we went to high school together.
Four, I went to summer camp with your son last year.
Someone you know is in need.
Three, we speak at PTA meetings all the time.
Two, I park your car every day.
Who's the one in eight in your life that needs help?
One, we've worked together for years.
You can make a difference through Feeding America and its nationwide network of more than 200 food banks. Take action at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
To help fight hunger in the Central Coast and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org/1in8. That's feedingamerica.org/1in8.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
As right-wing talk radio spreads lies about the stimulus bill, Sean Hannity says there's money in there for Frisbee golf. We get the straight scoop from Congresswoman Barbara Lee, Democrat from Oakland, chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, who joins us right now. Congresswoman, how are you today?
Doing fine. How are you, Peter? Glad to be with you.
Oh, I'm good. It's good to talk with you. Tell me how much time you have. I know time's precious.
Probably about 5 minutes.
Okay. We'll do it. I'll honor that, okay. And I appreciate you being available.
Uh-huh.
Tell me your sense about the conference committee and the extent to which bailout money for California, the funds for school construction that were in the House bill but don't show up in the Senate version. How do you think the conference is going to play out, particularly for our problems here in California?
Sure. Just say thanks for giving me the chance to talk with you tonight. I believe the conference committee has closed very recently, and so I'll tell you what I know as of a couple of hours ago. First, I have to just commend the speaker for her leadership and for what she did, because she's a tough negotiator, as we all know, and the Senate really did a number on the House bill.
Yeah, thank you, Ben Nelson.
three senators can hold up an entire economic stimulus package and do the bidding, mind you, of other Republican senators who will not vote for the bill.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. Secondly, though, when the bill left, of course, there were some of us who felt that the tax cuts were way too deep, but in the spirit of bipartisanship, we went along with it and voted for it.
Mm-hmm.
There were some of us who felt it should be $1 trillion when it left the House, knowing that the Senate would probably start gutting it. And, of course, we didn't do $1 trillion, but we still supported it. When the bill got to the Senate, though, it really became a nightmare, I think. They did zero out the school modernization funding, but I must say that the Congressional Black Caucus stood firm. The speaker stood firm. Congressman Chairman George Miller stood firm, and we were able to restore at least a couple hours ago, it was $9 billion. Not enough, way down from $14 billion, but we also insisted that it be formula-based, based on Title I and IDEA formula, so that it can go directly to the schools. I mean, our kids need to decent schools. They need fixing. They need modernizing, and our children should benefit from it. And furthermore, this creates jobs, the school construction bit. So we'll have to see what the conferees finally concluded. Secondly, we wanted to make sure we had neighborhood stabilization funds. It left the House with $4.1 billion, not enough. I mean, we were outraged. We couldn't get any more than $4.1 billion out of the House. But, again, when it got to the Senate, they zeroed that out. So the Congressional Black Caucus, working with the leadership and our speaker, we were able, at least an hour or two ago, I think they put $2 billion more back in. It's not enough. We have to fight for more, and hopefully we will be able to do something very soon on neighborhood stabilization, because foreclosure crisis is wreaking havoc on people's lives. When you look at the workforce training money, I believe that held at about what the house level was. But bottom line is this bill is about creating jobs, and the Senate changes as of yesterday created a net loss in terms of the numbers of jobs that our bill would have created as it left the House. So we have to see what the final numbers are. But I tell you one thing, this bipartisanship is an interesting, you know, play at this point, and we support the president because he really did reach out. He worked every which way to get a bipartisan bill, and this really is not a bipartisan bill. This is a bill that I have, at the most, will have at the most three or four Republican votes, and yet they drove the show over in the Senate.
Barbara Lee, how do we work with this? Because I understand the president's intention, and on an image basis, I applaud it. But the Republicans are responding to his open hand with a clenched fist, and he's getting slapped upside more than two cheeks that he's turned. And I really feel that to essentially spend $85 billion in unnecessary tax relief to get three Republican senators on board is a disgrace. And I believe that we really need to move into hardball mode and, rejigger the rules in the Senate for the 51 vote instead of the 60 vote. It's our turn to threaten the nuclear option to silence the minority.
Well, House members, some of us agree with that. I think that's a question for the Senate. I think the Senate should do that. I think it's outrageous that the president had to, negotiate with Republicans who weren't really negotiated from a fair position. I think they negotiated for other Republicans, such as the AMT fix. I understand you can confirm this. That's what Senator Grassley's play. I don't think he's going to vote for the bill yet. Senator Olympia Snowe insisted on that. And so this, to me, is really a very serious erosion of the bipartisan spirit that the president is really trying in every which way to embrace and to work. Sure.
Yeah. And with just a couple of minutes remaining here, I'd like to know your thoughts about the outline that Secretary Geithner has made about the next round of money for the banks. The criticism from Paul Krugman and others, I think, is substantial, that there's a lot of sketchiness here to this plan. And we know the inside reports from the White House are that Geithner prevailed over Axelrod and others in terms of more stringent restrictions on executive pay and really holding people responsible for the messes that they have created. And I'm just very concerned that Geithner is too cozy with the very interests that he is supposed to be regulating.
Well, we'll have to see. I think that we have to have some stringent requirements on the TARP money. I think most of it should go for the foreclosure crisis and the housing crisis. And we have to see. He set out some general parameters, but I think, and he was at our planning session this past weekend, and he talked to us about who he was as a person who was not from Wall Street or private sector. He wasn't from the private sector. His wife is, I believe, a social worker. And he said to us that he would be the type of Treasury Secretary that's going to look out for Main Street, for the American people. And, I hope that the voices in the White House that are pushing for re-regulation of the financial of Wall Street and of the financial services industry, I hope they prevail.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to certainly push for that on the Hill.
Let me ask you to comment on one final thing, and that is the appearance by Justice Department attorneys before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on Monday of this week. And I was stunned and very disappointed that Eric Holder, the new Attorney General, is maintaining the same bankrupt policies on the state secret assertion that the Bush administration did. This is not the change I voted for.
And Attorney General Eric Holder has a remarkable background, remarkable history, and, in fact, the Congressional Black Caucus unanimously voted to support him. And so we're going to meet with him, talk to him about the overall agenda, the justice agenda, and just see exactly the basis for some of his decisions and exactly what to expect. But I think that we're going to see a new Justice Department, one that hopefully will reflect, the rule of law and equal justice.
Well, they need to rethink the posture they took before the Ninth Circuit, and I'll just add one thing. I want him to lift the Ashcroft-Gonzalez gag order on Sybil Edmonds. She has important information, and we should be able to hear it.
Okay, thank you very much, Peter. We'll
okay.
That.
Congresswoman, thank you very much. That's Barbara Lee calling in from Washington. She is the Democrat who represents Oakland and is chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. Our lines are open for you. The rest of the program here, you can join me right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Comment on her remarks or what you heard from Peter Phillips or any of our earlier guests. Or you can introduce a topic of your very own. We're wide open. You know the rules here. There barely are any. It's any topic, any viewpoint, and you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We got Paul in Dunham up first. Welcome, Paul. You're on the PETER-B. Is it Durham or Dunham?
Durham,
I'm sorry, my glasses need cleaning. Go ahead, Paul.
Durham up by Chico, California. I listened to your podcast. In fact, I just listened to yesterday's and Glenn Greenwald.
Oh, great.
And then I tuned in today on the computer because I wanted to make a comment about what you guys were talking about the Democrats and how they're all this, how gutless they are and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a few theories. Peter Phillips talked about it just, you know, in your last segment before Barbara Lee about, you know, their conflicts of interest, obviously, where they got their money.
Yeah.
But also, how about campaign contributions? If they make too many waves, are they going to be able to raise the big bucks? And
well, there's no question that our campaign finance system is a thinly veiled bribery scheme.
Absolutely. What about the corporate media? Remember what happened to Howard Dean in 04? The legendary Dean scream?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you can see how the media can turn on you and turn you upside down and you lose your seat.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look what happened to Elliot Spitzer. New York.
Well,
he wrote that op-ed about the predatory lending, and that might dovetail into maybe some of the NSA spying and stuff. They know what skeletons you might have in your closet, and if you got some, I would think you might not be too apt to be making waves. You know what I mean?
Well, Paul, I will acknowledge that there are some unusual circumstances in the leads that produced the exposure of Elliot Spitzer. But when somebody like that takes such a risk and exposes himself the way Bill Clinton exposed himself to Monica Lewinsky and to the impeachment that followed, they give us nothing to work with. And so it may well be that Spitzer's, very vocal criticism of Wall Street and the whole lending bubble, led to targeting of him. But he also, was essentially caught transferring large amounts of money that he used to pay expensive hookers. And so it's very hard for us at this point to say, oh, he was somehow set up, because he contributed to the setup that led him out of power.
Yeah, that's probably correct. You know, and one final thing,
mm-hmm.
who were the two people in Washington that got anthrax mailed to them?
Tom Daschle.
And another Democrat.
It was Leahy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Senator Leahy.
And you don't think that's not on their mind, too? And when we've ultimately found out that it came from a U.S. Weapons lab?
Right, Fort Detrick. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's lots of reasons. I don't think they're all that gutless. I just think they want to hold on to their seat. You know, like Michael Rupert said, in Crossing the Rubicon, they don't want to give up their seat at the crap table.
Yeah, but, you know, Paul, at a certain point, somebody has to stand up and say, this isn't worth it. It isn't worth it to me to have this seat if I am this compromised.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you're right. Then there are a few people that do it. I mean, look at Cynthia McKinney. She did it,
mm-hmm.
and she got outed, of course. You know, they that was probably a dive bowl deal in Georgia. But there is one guy that does do it regularly, and that's Dennis Kucinich.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, I mean, if we had a few hundred of them more like him, we wouldn't be in this mess.
I'm glad you're listening, buddy. Thanks for putting up with the podcast and all that stuff. I appreciate your checking out the program and listening and calling in.
It's my pleasure. I learned a lot. Thank you.
Okay, Paul. Good to hear from you today. Here's John in Carmel Valley. Hey, John, you're on the air.
The other night, Tom Hartman, we don't get him live in the morning on KRXA, but actually it's good for me. I'm listening to him far more than I did when he was live in the morning.
Good.
And he said this whole stimulus package, to call it a stimulus package is just a setup for the Republicans, because they want nothing more than to see it fail to make political hay out of it. And he said it should be called exactly what it is, a jobs or create activities that will give jobs from them. And I agree with that. It's just one more strategic mistake.
The other language that I would use is that we're trying to stimulate demand. And instead of using the word stimulate, we should really talk about the demand side, because it's an important contrast to the supply side economic theories, which have been a grotesque failure. And that is, you know, that evidence is now very visible to every American. So I think to address the demand issue is really not only accurate, but it's something that almost everybody can understand. And so that, to me, is the real weakness in our economy right now. And why has demand fallen? Well, it's simple, because people are losing their jobs and they're scared pitless. And they're sitting on whatever money they have left because they don't know where their next cash infusion is coming from. And the value of their home has declined, and that was where a lot of people had parked too much of their net worth. And also everybody's retirement accounts, and to whatever extent you have money in the stock market, all that just took a 30 to 40% drop. And so that's why we're not spending. And in order to generate demand and really reignite our economy, you have to look at putting money in the hands of people who will spend it. And that's working families, it's retirees, it's people whose incomes currently are below $30,000 a year. And so that's where we should be focused. And I do agree that stimulus is a bad word to use. It doesn't really resonate with people. And I think that, you know, trying to stimulate demand, pump up demand, and you do that by keeping people in their jobs, creating new jobs for people who have lost them.
It's amazing that the Republicans learned nothing from the mess they created back in the 30s Depression. They believe in the same worse than worthless stuff. It's, and yet here's all this kowtowing to the destroyers and ruinators, and every activity that's led up to this mess.
And as I was discussing with the Lieutenant Governor earlier, when it comes to Sacramento, the Republicans now are proposing tax increases, but they won't vote for them. They want to pass the buck to voters in a special election that couldn't be held before June and couldn't possibly generate revenue for this fiscal year, which ends at the end of June. And that is, it goes beyond irresponsible. It's criminal. It's intentional, and we should be working to bounce those people from office. If they won't raise taxes and vote to balance the budget in California, they should resign from their jobs. It's that simple, and we should be demanding. I'll take a break, return to more of your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you're listening.
Your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We've got a traffic hazard on northbound Route 1 between Rio Del Mar Boulevard and State Park Drive. And in the same area, on the State Park Drive on-ramp to northbound Route 1, there's a traffic collision. And a couple of accidents in the Hollister-Gilroy area on southbound 101, one at Monterey Road, the other southbound 101 just north of Cochrane Road.
This is Billy Sunshine with your weather. Scattered rain showers and a chance of thunder showers tonight. Tomorrow mostly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. Current temperature, mid to low 50s. High surf advisory now in effect around Monterey Bay from 6 p.m. this evening to 6 p.m. tomorrow. And now, back to B2B Collins on 540 a.m.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. to perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal. Choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
On the next Quantum Leap, sweet spots. That's where the police go to give you a ticket. They go to their sweet spot. If you've gotten an unjust ticket and want to know more about how to fight it, call and give us your story on the Quantum Leap, Saturdays at 9 p.m. and Monday at 8. Sweet spots, all next week on the Quantum Leap on KRXA 540. Think for yourself. Sweet spots, unjust and not so sweet.
There's more than one side to every issue. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights from 9 to 11, we examine issues from every angle on our show called A Different Perspective. Sometimes we have guests bring a viewpoint that isn't often heard elsewhere. Other times we'll discuss our different perspectives on the issue of the day. Either way, call in and give us your different perspective. Join us, Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart, on A Different Perspective, Thursday nights at 9, here on KRXA 540.
Walk with me. Take my hand.
All right, I'll take your hand. I don't mind. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 7 minutes in front of the hour. And my email is peter@peterbcollins.com. If you're unable to call into the program, send me your comments that way. I would love to hear them. Two things before I take some more calls. One is I recommend an article by Robert Scheer that you can find on the homepage at truthdig.com. It opens thusly, "What an insipid anticlimax, rising to, quote, a challenge more complex than our financial system has ever faced," end quote. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner promised on Tuesday to give trillions more to the very folks who profited from that malignant complexity. For all the brave talk about transparency and accountability in the banking bailout, he gave the swindlers who got us into this mess yet another blank check to buy up the toxic assets they gleefully created. The other thing I want to mention, totally unrelated to anything here, is just a bizarre ad that's running on cable news channels right now. I've seen it on MSNBC and on CNN. And it's from the fine folks who talk about clean coal. It's totally bogus. There is no such thing as clean coal in terms of the extraction or the burning of it to turn it into fuel. And they use campaign clips from somewhere along the campaign trail last year where Senator Obama made comments that I deeply regret about clean coal and about how it can create 5 to 6 million jobs. And I don't know whose propaganda he was spouting at that point, but it's really painful to see them use the now president in a propagandistic commercial like that. And I don't know how they got the rights to it. I can't imagine the campaign authorized it, but somebody ought to file a lawsuit and put a kibosh on that one. Susan in Soquel, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Peter. How you doing?
I'm okay, thanks.
Good. Well, I've been extremely disappointed by the way this president is wending his way through this thing, because he is capitulating all over the place. And to the Republicans, any kind of consideration or just being a nice guy or wanting to compromise and stuff like that and work things out is looked at as weakness. And they just go for it, you know, and so they are. Anyway, I just want to remind people that even though the election isn't happening right now, we were very active before it. Please to write your senators or call them. The White House has a line, a comment line, and the person there listened to my whole list, and it was long. Even me saying not to give an inch to the Republicans, because for 16 years they didn't give us an inch
right at
all. And, you know, and they listened and they took notes, and I also called Sam Farr's office. I'm going to do it with Boxer and Feinstein tomorrow. You know, our voices have to get out there. They're really taking some wrong turns here, and that aren't going to help us. They're going to help the rich guys.
I'm with you there. And did you use the main White House number, the 456-1414?
No, there's a number. If you go to his site, I don't think it was that.
Uh-huh.
If you go to his site, there is a number that you can call, a comment line.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a good thing to do, but I suggest making a list before you do it.
Okay, so that's up at whitehouse.gov.
No, it's at...
Change.gov?
Oh, yeah, maybe. What I did was I just Googled in his line.
Okay, White House comment line, if you Google it, or
right.
Go to whitehouse.gov, right. And I think I saw it there, too.
Yeah.
Thanks for setting a good example of activism.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really appreciate it, Susan.
It's not good enough, believe me.
Well, we've got to speak up. We've got to make our voices heard, and I appreciate you doing that. Let's talk to Mike in Aptos. Welcome, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. Good discussion. Hey, you're the first person on the radio that I've heard or host in media that's distinguish between supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a basic misunderstanding that not only does the media have, but I don't think the congressmen know the difference either. And what we have now is a, like you said, we've got an oversupply and lack of demand, and things like tax cuts, they go to the supply side.
Right.
You know, like this thing that's floating around, I don't know if it made it, $15,000 tax credit if you buy a home. All that's going to do is that the seller of the home knows that the buyer is going to get $15,000 back,
mm-hmm.
so they're going to bump the price up all the way up to somewhere between $0 and $15,000.
Right, and a tax credit only is valuable to somebody who's paying $15,000 in taxes already.
Actually, a credit, I think they might actually get a check.
It could be partly refundable, but I'll bet there's a limit on that. Hey, I'm out of time, Mike, but thank you for your thoughts today. I appreciate that. We'll do it again tomorrow, and I hope you'll join me right here, wherever you listen, on the radio, on your earbuds, podcast, streaming, or I don't know how else you can get it. But
happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Congress has a compromise on the stimulus bill.
Difference between the Senate and House versions, we've resolved.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid made the announcement after marathon negotiations between House Democrats and the three Republican senators whose votes are crucial. They forced spending cuts to bring the bill in under $800 billion, but House Republican leader John Boehner says it's still too much.
I'm very disappointed. It appears that they've made a bad bill worse by reducing the amount of tax relief for American families and small businesses and adding more wasteful Washington spending.
CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports both sides gave up something.
According to White House and congressional sources, about one-third of the bill is spending to create jobs, including $150 billion for roads, highways, renewable energy, and other infrastructure. One-third is for tax cuts to encourage spending. The final third goes to the states to stabilize their economies and save jobs. Cut from the House bill, $16 billion for school construction and billions more for health care, both high-priority priorities for the president.
He calls it a hard-fought compromise that will save or create more than 3.5 million jobs. Mr. Obama hopes to sign it by the end of the week. A man whose company is blamed for the deadly Salmonella outbreak was subpoenaed to appear at a congressional hearing today. He came, but as CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports, he wasn't very forthcoming.
Sam
attempts respectfully declined to answer your question.
Stuart Parnell,
declined to answer your question.
The CEO of Georgia's Peanut Corporation of America,
on the advice of my counsel, I
sat stone-faced and took the fifth in response to every angry question lawmakers posed to him and a fellow executive.
In this container are products that have your ingredients in them. So I just wonder, would either of you be willing to take the lid off and eat any of these products now?
I respectfully decline to answer your question.
Parnell chose not to be in the hearing room when devastated families testified, sharing pictures of lost loved ones.
The death toll rose to 9 today. The storm system that produced killer tornadoes in Oklahoma is moving east. In Kentucky, still recovering from last month's ice storm, high wind has caused a new round of power outages. Customers calling Louisville Gas and Electric are asked to be patient.
As a result of today's storms and high winds, LG&E currently has 15,000 customers without power. Kentucky